Good evening. I've determined that a quorum is present, and I hereby call this meeting to order. My name is Michael Fee, and it's my honor to serve as your moderator for this 2015 annual town meeting. In the event that I am unable to preside over an article or the number of participants at town meeting requires that we open a second room, it's necessary that we appoint an assistant moderator. I've asked Kirsten Rupinian, a longtime Sudbury resident and assistant town moderator under my predecessor, Myron Fox, to serve in that role. May I have a motion approving the appointment of Ms. Rupinian as assistant town moderator for the 2015 annual town meeting?
So moved, Mr. Moderator.
Does that motion receive a second?
Second.
All in favor, please signify by raising your cards. All opposed? Passes unanimously. Before turning our attention to local matters, I note that the United States Senate passed a resolution in 1999 designating the month of May as National Military Appreciation Month. The Senate's proclamation encourages all citizens to observe this month as a symbol of unity and an opportunity to honor current and former members of the armed forces, especially those who have died in the pursuit of freedom and peace. We do so today particularly mindful of our Sudbury residents and their families who have given their lives in the defense of our country. It is my great pleasure to welcome tonight two outstanding Lincoln Sudbury seniors to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. Can Aaron George and Lillian Jones please step forward to the microphone at the front of the hall? Aaron George is described by his teachers as a thoughtful, caring, and total embodiment of the LS school motto that students think for yourself, but think of others. Aaron is a 3-year varsity lacrosse player and a valued leader in the Mentors for Violence Prevention program, a group devoted to eliminating relationship violence and dating abuse. He will attend Fordham University in the fall to study engineering physics on a 4-year Army ROTC scholarship. Lillian Jones is described by her teachers as a dedicated and enthusiastic scholar whose passion for learning inspires others. She is keenly interested in the sciences and has served as a coach of the Curtis Middle School Science Olympiad for the past 4 years. She is also an accomplished vocalist and the musical director of Acquired Taste, the Lincoln Sudbury Women's A Cappella Group. Lillian will attend Worcester Polytechnic Institute in the fall as a pre-med biochem student and will also be participating in the Naval ROTC program. Mr. George and Ms. Jones, would you please lead us in the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much. For the record, I have examined and found in order the call of the meeting, the officer's return of service, and confirmation of timely mailing of the warrant to all residents. I can also report to the hall that certified free cash, according to the town accountant Christine Nyhan, is in the amount of $3,322,365. In many towns, the moderator reads each article and all of the procedural documents verbatim as they are reached. While this was once the case in Sudbury, in recent years we've adopted the practice of omitting the reading of the warrant with the consent of the hall. Therefore, I ask Commissioner Woodard for a motion to dispense with the reading of the call of the annual town meeting, the officer's return of service of notice, and the individual articles of the warrant.
So moved.
Does that receive a second? It does. All in favor, please signify by raising your cards. All opposed? The motion passes nearly unanimously. I'd like to take a moment to introduce now our town officials. Please raise your hand when your name is called so that everyone at town meeting will know who you are. To my right is Town Clerk Rosemary Harvell and Assistant Town Clerk Veronica Craven. To my immediate left sits Town Council Barbara St. Andre. To her left are the Board of Selectmen, Chuck Woodard, Chairman, Pat Brown, Vice Chair, Bob Hardy, Larry O'Brien, Len Simon. To their left sits Interim Town Manager Marianne Bilodeau, And to her left, Finance Committee members, Susan Berry, Chair, Joan Carlton, Vice Chair, William Nealon, Jr., Jeff Barker, Mark Manasian, Jeffrey Atwater, Adrian Davies, Fred Fleurieu, Jose Garcia Maiten. In the front row, some very fine town officials that have been absolutely essential in preparing me for tonight's town meeting. Mark Thompson, Technology Administrator. Patty Golden, Senior Administrative Assistant to the Town Manager. Elaine Jones, Legal Assistant Extraordinaire. Layla Frank, Supervisor of the Board of Selectmen's Office. Cynthia Jerry, Director of Assessing. Christine Nyhan, Town Accountant. Robin Porcella, Assistant Town Accountant. Bill Miles, Fire Chief. Scott Nix, Chief of Police. Jody Kablack, Director of Planning and Community Development. Jim Kupfer, Assistant Town Planner. Bill Place, DPW Director and Town Engineer. Jim Kelly, Combined Facilities Director. Mark Herwick, Building Inspector. Bill Murphy, Health Director. Nancy McShay, Parks, Recreation, and Aquatic Director. Okay. There are fire exits at the rear of the auditorium where you entered, as well as in the front through the stage. Bathrooms are located immediately across the hall from the rear exit doors, as well as outside the cafeteria. Coffee and snacks are available in the area where you checked in tonight. However, there can be no food except water allowed in the auditorium. There are materials on the tables where you entered about the various warrant articles. There are also extra warrants here at the podium. If you need a warrant, please raise your card and keep it raised, and one of the Boy Scouts will deliver a warrant to you now. Anyone need a warrant? Over here? Okay. This seems a fine opportunity to thank the members and leaders of the Sudbury Boys and Girl Scouts for their contributions to tonight's town meeting. Bailey Prince, Ryan Grummer, Hans Wigener, and Max Fishman from Boy Scout Troop 60 will be running the microphones for us tonight. The refreshment stand will be staffed by members of Troop 75-137, which is a 10th grade troop raising funds to work on their future Gold Award projects. Manning that booth is Lauren Nealand, Katie Hardwick, Felicia Cheng, Madison Menente, and Brenna Shearer. While in that vicinity, I would suggest that you also visit with Girl Scout Ellie Hardwick, who is an LS senior from Troop 72-484. She's sharing details tonight about her Gold Award project, which involves the creation of a page for the town website entitled The Sudbury Volunteer and Activity Guide. For anyone interested in fostering volunteerism and student involvement in town, please take a moment tonight to share your thoughts and encouragement with Ms. Hardwick. Finally, I'd like to thank the staff and crew of Sudbury TV, who do a fantastic job of bringing this and a wide variety of other town meetings and events to the web at sudburytv.org. Thanks to Sudbury TV staff Lynn Puro, Cliff McGann, Steve Ward, and Terry Lockhart, and tonight's volunteer crew members Chris McDermott, Ron Riggert, and Margot Casella. Anybody lose any keys? I got them. As you know, after many, many years of loyal service to this town, 2015 annual town meeting will be Larry O'Brien's last as a selectman. It is my great pleasure to recognize Selectman Woodard for a proclamation honoring Selectman O'Brien. You may.
It's all right.
Keep it short.
I couldn't just read the proclamation without saying a few words. Is that all right? Larry O'Brien has served Sudbury with distinction for almost 20 years. We all know him on the Board of Selectmen, where he's worked tirelessly on many, many projects and initiatives over the last 15 years. I think he will tell you that one of his proudest achievements was his contribution to the town's adoption of the Community Preservation Act and all of the benefits that have flowed from that. Prior to the board, and some of you may not know this, he served for a number of years on the planning board and was involved in that very important initiative to change our zoning bylaws to permit multifamily housing for residents over 55. Personally, and I've known Larry now for 8 years, I can say that his advice to me has been helpful, thoughtful, and generally right on the money. I think we've been very lucky to have Larry O'Brien. And I'm very pleased to be able to read this citation. It's an official citation from the State Senate, and it reads as follows: be it known that the Massachusetts Senate hereby extends its congratulations to Lawrence O'Brien in recognition of your distinguished commitment to Sudbury as a member of the Board of Selectmen and as a member of the Planning Board, and be it further known that the Massachusetts Senate extends best wishes for continued success, that this citation be duly signed by the President of the Senate and attested to, and a copy thereof transmitted by the Clerk of the Senate, and it's signed by Stan Rosenberg and our two senators, Mike Barrett and Jamie Eldridge. And Larry, on behalf of the board and the town, thank you very much.
Always bossing me around. Thank you, Chuck. I now recognize our State Representative Carmen Gentile for the reading of proclamations issued by the Massachusetts House of Representatives.
You got me in.
I did.
It's your fault.
So many, many years ago, Larry wanted to be on the Conservation Commission. And they were just full. They just didn't have a vacancy. You know, he didn't get on that year. And I said, Larry, the planning board, join the planning board, run for election, run for the planning board. And the rest is history. And it was my pleasure to serve with Larry for many years on the planning board. So from the House of Representatives, be it hereby known to all that the Massachusetts House of Representatives offers its sincerest congratulations to Lawrence O'Brien in recognition of his many years service on both the Board of Selectmen and Planning Board, and dedication to the town of Sudbury. The entire membership extends its very best wishes and expresses the hope for future good fortune and continued success in all endeavors. Given this fourth day of May 2015 at the State House, Robert A. DeLeo, Speaker of the House, and myself, Carmen Gentile. Thank you, Larry.
One more, Carmen? Something else?
Yeah. We have another proclamation. Is Myron Fox here tonight? No? Where are you, Myron? Oh, there you are. Okay. Well, we have a citation for you. Be it hereby known that all that the Massachusetts House of Representatives offers its sincerest congratulations to Myron J. Fox in recognition of his many years' service as both town moderator and selectman, and his dedication to the town of Sudbury. The entire membership extends its very best wishes, expresses the hope for future good fortune and continued success in all endeavors. Given this fourth day of May 2015 by Speaker of the House, Robert A. DeLeo, and offered by myself. Thank you, Myron.
Thank you, Representative Gentile, and thank you, Myron, I think. As is traditional in Sudbury, I'll now recognize Selectman Simon for a resolution in memory of those citizens who have served the town and passed away during the preceding year.
In memoriam resolution. Whereas the town of Sudbury has enjoyed the blessings of those in the community who gave their time and talent to enrich the quality of life in our town. And whereas this past year has seen several of its citizens and employees who have rendered public service and civic duty pass from among us. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the town of Sudbury extends its heartfelt sympathy to the families of these persons and recognize their service and dedication to the community. David R. Bates, Jr. Edna M. Geary. Myrna Hoffman. Ethel V. Johnson. William A. King. Carmel O'Connell. Marjorie R. Wallace.
Selectman Simon. For years now, it's been our tradition at the annual town meeting to recognize someone who has performed valuable service for the town by asking him or her to make a motion under Article 1 of the warrant. This year, we honor Harold Cutler and ask that he please come forward to the mic and podium at the front of the hall. Harold Cutler was born in Sudbury in 1944 and served as a call firefighter from 1968 until 2015. Harold served on the Sudbury 350th Anniversary Celebration Committee from 1986 to 1989, and then on the Sudbury 375th Anniversary Committee from 2013 to 2014. His tenure and service to this community is so impressive and appreciated that last week the Board of Selectmen enacted the following proclamation. Harold R. Cutler, be it resolved, Harold R. Cutler has faithfully served the town of Sudbury Fire Department as a call firefighter for 50 years. And whereas Harold was first hired as an auxiliary firefighter by Chief Albert St. Germain on May 29, 1966, and is a call firefighter on February 9, 1967, and has faithfully and effectively served under four fire chiefs for nearly one half century. And whereas Harold has distinguished himself during his tenure with his outstanding dedication and integrity and has earned the respect and admiration of all with whom he has come in contact through his insight, professionalism, and sincere concern for always performing in the best interest of those who live and work in the town of Sudbury. And whereas Harold R. Cutler has retired from his position as a call firefighter of the Sudbury Fire Department on January 15, 2015. Now, therefore, be it resolved that we, on behalf of the residents and employees of the town of Sudbury, express our sincere appreciation and affection to Harold for the many contributions and fond memories he has given to the community and co-workers, and join with family and friends to extend to him best wishes on his retirement from the town of Sudbury Fire Department. We further proclaim Thursday, April 30th, 2015, Harold R. Cutler Day in Sudbury, in honor and recognition of his dedicated service and commitment to all, signed the 28th of Sudbury by the Sudbury Board of Select 28th of April by the Sudbury Board of Selectmen. Mr. Cutler, for a motion, please.
Mr. Moderator, I move to accept the reports of the town boards, commissions, officers, and committees as printed in the 2014 town report or as otherwise presented, subject to the correction of errors, if any, when found.
Does that motion receive a second?
Second.
It does. Finance Committee position. Does the Finance Committee have a position? Does the Board of Selectmen have a position?
The Board of Selectmen recommends approval.
Majority vote is required. All in favor of the motion, please signify by raising your cards. All opposed? The motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Mr. Cutler. Thank Before we begin the consent calendar and Article 2, I would like to take this time to review some of the most important procedural ground rules that will govern how this annual town meeting and tomorrow night's special town meeting will be conducted. First, your warrant on pages Roman numeral 2 through 4, there is a section entitled Summary of Basic Town Meeting Procedures. It includes an explanation of the general rules of debate, an explanation of the budget and consent calendar processes, and a primer on the various types of motions. You can also find specific rules governing town meeting in Articles 1 through 4 of the town's general bylaws. Only registered voters in the town and non-resident town employees or elected state officials may speak without leave of the hall. If you wish to speak at any time, raise your card. Once I recognize you, a Boy Scout will deliver a microphone to you at your seat. When you are handed the microphone, it will be on. Every time you address the hall, you must begin by clearly stating your name and address so that the town clerk can make an accurate record of these proceedings. According to our bylaws, presenters of articles may speak for a maximum of 10 minutes and all other speakers for a maximum of 5 minutes. Unless additional time is granted by the hall. Article presenters can manage their time by referring to the timer clock on my right. I also have this nifty gadget that makes all kinds of noise and glows fiery red when time is up. I urge all speakers to be cognizant of the fact that we have 62 articles to get through, and our meetings will run from 7:30 to 10:30 sharp tonight, tomorrow night, and Wednesday night if necessary. If we don't complete all of the town business by the close of Wednesday night's meeting, we, by town bylaw, are required to adjourn to the following Monday, the 11th. It's my hope that we won't have to do that, and I think that if we work together, we can certainly conclude all our business by Wednesday. I will do my best to ensure that these proceedings move along with alacrity, and I hope that the presenters and speakers understand that succinctness will be very much appreciated by me and the hall. In my experience, it's rarely necessary for initial presenters to speak for the entire time allotted. Every matter that is voted on at town meeting comes in the form of a motion. The warrant articles themselves are not self-starting, so you will often hear a presenter begin by saying, "I move in the words of the motion." I move in the words of the article. Unless you move in the words of an article exactly as it is printed in the warrant, every presenter must explain to the hall the changes in his or her motion and how it differs from what appears in the warrant. All other motions of substance, including motions to amend an article, must be delivered to me, the town clerk, and Mr. Thompson, the technology administrator, in writing before they are made. Please bear in mind that you can only make a motion to amend when you are first recognized and not in the midst of your remarks or at the end of your remarks. In order to be fair to everyone, I will not entertain any motions to amend that don't strictly comply with these guidelines. Some notes on voting. Each article in your warrant describes the quantum of vote necessary for an article to pass. Usually it's a simple majority, but specific types of actions, zoning articles for instance, require a two-thirds vote. And certain motions, like a motion to take an article out of order, requires a 4/5 vote of the hall. I will remind the hall of the requisite quantum before each vote, and then I will ask all to signify your vote by raising your card, either for or against a particular article. I will then count the vote and announce the result. Given the substantial amount of time it takes to do a head count by tellers, I ask that you not request a head count unless you are certain that I've miscalculated. I assure you that if I'm unsure and the standing vote is not obvious, I will call for a head count myself. Finally, there has been much discussion in town lately regarding the lack of civility in some of our political discourse, so much so that the Sudbury Clergy Association organized and sponsored a project utilizing students from Harvard's Law and Divinity Schools to study the problem. Their report was recently published and is accessible on the web. If you have not read it, I would urge you to do so. It contains valuable insight into the ways that we can sometimes fail to hear or respect the opinions of others, and it has many, many good suggestions on how we can do better. as is clear from the Listening Project's report, on almost all issues of any substance or complexity, reasonable minds can differ. And a healthy respect for both sides of an argument is essential if we are to achieve any type of meaningful consensus through the town meeting process. While it is rare to see voters behaving badly at town meeting, I assure you that every speaker here will be treated with courtesy and respect, no matter how strongly others may disagree with their point of view. To that end, I will not allow any clapping, hissing, booing, or other audible noise for or against any speakers, either before, during, or after their presentations. Speakers may not make disrespectful comments, whether directed at a voter, another speaker, or a town official. If you do so, your right to speak will be terminated. My job as moderator is to ensure crisp, robust, and fair discussion of all the articles. Your job as citizen legislators is to state your views firmly but responsibly. While I have the utmost faith and confidence in those of you who care enough about Sudbury to be here tonight and devote your time to this annual town meeting, failure to adhere to these parameters has consequences. Massachusetts General Laws Chapter 39 governs town meeting and provides as follows. No person shall address a town meeting without the leave of the moderator, and all persons shall, at the request of the moderator, be silent. If a person, after warning from the moderator, persists in disorderly behavior, the moderator may order him to withdraw from the meeting, and if he does not withdraw, may order a constable or other person to remove him and confine him in some convenient place until the meeting is adjourned. I hope I don't ever have to do that. You should also know that as a handsome welcome gift from the former moderator, I was given this gavel that has some gravitas, and I think it's quite capable of quelling all sorts of unruly outbursts, but I hope I don't have to use this either. So, before we get to the consent, consent calendar, Articles 9, 10, and 11, and 12 on your warrant. In order to expedite town meeting and hopefully to save valuable time for the discussion of other matters, Sudbury uses a consent calendar to facilitate the passage of articles that appear to raise no controversy. The consent calendar is structured so as to allow the motions under these articles to be acted on as one unit and to be passed by unanimous vote without debate. I direct your attention to pages Roman numeral 2 through 4 of the warrant, which describes the consent calendar process and the articles to be addressed. I will call out each of the articles one by one. If any voter has any doubt about passing any motions or wishes an explanation of any subject on the consent calendar, that voter should stand and say the word hold in a loud and clear voice when the number of the article is called. I will then inquire as to whether the request for hold is for a question or for debate. If the purpose of the request is merely to ask a question, we will attempt to obtain a satisfactory answer. And if the voter is satisfied, the article will remain on the consent calendar absent some further request for a hold. If the purpose of the request was to hold the article for debate, the article will be removed from the consent calendar and restored to its original place in the warrant to be brought up and debated and voted on in the usual way. No voter should hesitate to exercise the right to remove matters from the consent calendar. However, I ask that you exercise that prerogative only in cases of genuine concern. In the past, it has occasionally happened that articles were removed from the consent calendar, and when reached in the normal course, they passed unanimously without debate. That defeats the purpose of this time-saving procedure. I'll now read the roll call of the consent calendar. Everybody clear on the process? Any questions? Okay. Article 9, Chapter 90, Highway Funding. Is that for question or debate?
Question.
Please ask your question.
Microphone.
Yep. My apologies. State your name and address, please.
Kurt Larson, 95 Water Row.
Can you say that one more time?
Kurt Larson, 95 Water Row. The article states toward the end, to authorize the treasurer to borrow such amounts in anticipation of reimbursement. The question is, how and from which funds or budgets are the cost of borrowing for funds in anticipation of reimbursement paid for?
Mary Ann Bilodeau?
Actually, our interim finance director, Suzanne Bob.
Okay.
Our interim finance director, Suzanne Marchand, will answer that question.
It will be borrowed from the Commonwealth of Mass through a state anticipation note. The costs are minimal for that. I don't have the exact amount of money, but we could borrow with our own, use our own funds, and we would be forced to borrow as of June 30th of next year. But historically, we've done a state aid anticipation note.
Does that answer your question? Do you have another question, or would you like to pass the article forward? Okay. Article 10, real estate exemption. Article 11, town school revolving funds. Article 12, public health vaccinations revolving fund. Okay. Thank you. I'll now ask Chairman Woodard for a motion to take Articles 9, 10, 11, and 12 out of order and consider them together at this time.
Move in the words of the moderator.
Does that motion receive a second? It does. This motion requires a 4/5 majority in order to pass. First, does the Finance Committee have a position?
The Finance Committee unanimously recommends approval of these four articles.
Does the Board of Selectmen have a position?
The Board of Selectmen supports all four articles.
Okay, go to a vote now. We need a 4/5 majority in order for this to pass. All in favor, please signify by raising your cards. All opposed? That passes unanimously. Now recognize Selectman Woodard for a State of the Town address.
Is that all right? Good evening. I'm Chuck Woodard, Chair of the Board of Selectmen. I first sat on stage here for a town meeting 8 years ago in my initial year on the Finance Committee. And of all the people that are on that stage tonight, only three were there 8 years ago. Myself, Selectman O'Brien, and Bill Nealon of the Finance Committee. In the intervening 8 years, we've had four new Board of Selectmen members, eight new Finance Committee members, a new town manager, a new town council, and a new moderator. Change inexorably happens. Sudbury has changed in the last decade, and as residents, we need to ensure that change works in a positive way for the community. This is a very special place. The sheer physical beauty of the town is unique. We have a large population of kids and a growing population of seniors. We have outstanding schools. The challenge is to keep it that way and hopefully make it better, which will take the continuing and focused efforts of many good people. In Sudbury, residents manage change through our many volunteer boards and committees. And my remarks tonight are dedicated to the large core of dedicated and talented volunteers that help make this town tick, and to those of you who might wish to join them in the future. Now, this is not to underestimate the substantial contribution that our staff makes. In finance, we've received multiple awards for the quality of our budgeting and financial reporting. The Park and Rec Department is one of 110 nationwide to be accredited by the National Park and Recreation Association and the first to be accredited in Massachusetts. Our fire department launched an advanced life support program in 2013 to substantially enhance emergency services. And we all know this last winter, the performance of the DPW in keeping the roads cleared with all that snow was nothing short of outstanding. And there are many other examples, including, of course, our excellent schools, where the foundation is a team of great teachers and administrators. As many of you probably know from your experience as parents involved in the schools, the efforts of volunteers often energize the staff because they show the staff we have a keen interest in what they're doing, and we have a keen interest in the quality of the service that's being delivered. So I'd like to look at a few of our recent major accomplishments through the prism of the volunteer force. Budget challenges. You've heard this again and again. Sudbury has the highest proportion of households with school-aged children in the state, and this creates enormous pressures on the operating budget. All other things being equal, we pay higher taxes than a comparable community because we have to pay for the education of more children. The solution to this is obvious, but it takes time. Increase the proportion of households without school-aged children. We need to retain seniors in town. 2 years ago, Sudbury pioneered the means-tested senior tax exemption. The purpose was to provide meaningful tax relief to seniors on fixed incomes so they could remain in their homes. This program was spearheaded by two residents and based on the many hours of volunteer effort by various committees and individuals over the prior 12 years. They created a workable model, sold the idea to the town, and after town meeting approval, they went ahead and sold it to the state legislature. Our current program has been very successful, and it has become a model for other towns. And as a very important footnote, the proportion of seniors in town continues to grow. Yeah. We've preserved over 500 acres of open space in Sudbury over the past two decades, a critical component to retaining the character of the town. Recently, we confirmed our continuing commitment to this effort by overwhelmingly approving the purchase of Johnson Farm. The Johnson Farm saga was a long and tortuous one. It involved years of meetings and analysis and debate on the part of the Zoning Board of Appeals, the Planning Board, the Conservation Commission, and many others, translating to many hours of volunteer effort contributed by the individuals who comprise these boards. After years of study and dialogue at multiple town meetings, the construction of a much-needed new police station is underway. Volunteers made a major contribution to this effort. After the initial design was rejected by voters, a Blue Ribbon task force of volunteers reviewed the condition of the existing station, performed a space and needs analysis, and recommended a new project at lower projected costs. The members of the Permanent Building Committee spent many, many, and I watched them, many hours working with the architects and estimators to finalize a design that would meet the revised budget approved by the voters. These are just a few of the more visible accomplishments, and I don't want to overlook the efforts of the countless other citizens who contribute their time and energy on the many other boards and committees that help this town run well. And, of course, all the volunteer effort that makes our schools the special places they are. Over the next 5 years, I believe we need to focus on some familiar and also some new issues. Long term, I do not believe the current bifurcation of K to 8 and 9 to 12 into two systems managed by two different school committees is in the best interest of our children. Decisions regarding the allocation of resources between, say, fifth grade and ninth grade should be made by educators, not politicians. Consolidation into a K to 12 system is worth pursuing, but for many practical reasons is a very long way off. In the meantime, I think we need to look at alternative ways, out-of-the-box ideas, for having the three school systems work together so that each town has something that works more like K to 12. This could be the basis of a common goal with Lincoln, and a common goal usually leads to results. If Lincoln agrees, this would require a substantial commitment of time and energy on the part of our two school committees. Regarding budget challenges, you'll see when we get to Article 4, the operating budget continues to be tight by any measure, but by any measure, we are an efficiently run town. If you look at cost per student for education, cost per mile for the DPW department, and many other metrics, we compare very favorably to our peers. In addition to the operating budget, there are a number of other financial articles in this year's warrant for your consideration. Article 35 requests your support for a permanent extension of the means-tested senior tax exemption program I discussed earlier. Articles 18 through 28 address the investment in our infrastructure that is needed to maintain it in good working condition.
The town has $164 million of capital assets, but we spend an average of only $682,000 per year on new capital over the 5 years ended 2011, which is far too low. These capital articles grew out of the work of the capital funding, the capital improvement, and the finance committees. Articles 33 and 34 address the past practice, typical of all towns in Massachusetts, of not funding our promise to employees to pay part of the cost of their health care in retirement. These grew out of the volunteer efforts of the OPEB funding and the finance committees. The ongoing effort to fund and build rail trails in Sudbury continues to be heavily debated. We held a well-attended public forum earlier this year to educate and to listen. Multiple town boards and committees will be heavily involved as we carefully move forward. As a result of a town meeting vote here last year, engineering is underway on the Bruce Freeman Rail Trail. Raytheon is a major taxpayer, which has announced plans to vacate and sell their facility on Route 20. We need to work with them to ensure that any new development works for Sudbury. This is a 50-acre parcel that abuts the potential east-west trail, and it could be the anchor for the redevelopment of Route 20. In a joint letter from the Board of Selectmen and the Planning Board, we told Raytheon we have a strong preference for mixed-use development with light commercial and retail plus rental housing that counts toward our affordable housing goal. What happens at Raytheon will impact where we go with the town-owned Malone property on Route 117. If we do not need all of Malone for affordable housing, it could also be used for recreational facilities. Funding to restore the Malone gravel pit to its pre-mining condition is addressed in Article 13. The Fairbank Community Center Task Force recently sponsored a town forum to introduce options for a new community center to replace, and you can see it in this photo, the old building. They have spent countless hours with the architects examining solutions to this critical need that will work financially for taxpayers. And along with the community center, our nearly 100-year-old town hall is in dire need of repairs and infrastructure upgrades. The Permanent Building Committee and a newly established Town Hall Blue Ribbon Committee will be making recommendations in the coming year. The moderator has already discussed the clergy-sponsored listening project. I want to add that I think Sudbury will benefit from the fund's objective presentation of the views and concerns driving some of the uncivil political discourse in town, and I expect that the Board of Selectmen will take the lead on next steps to address the report's findings and recommendations. I'm missing a slide. There we go. Thank you. Let me just close with a couple of thoughts. Change is inevitable, but we as residents need to actively manage it. Community participation through an engaged and dedicated core of volunteers can make a good community great. In the process, residents become engaged citizens, which is a very good thing for the town. Thank you.
Thank you. You can stay right there. You can stay right there for Article 2. Would you prefer to do Article 2 from your seat? Okay. All right. Thank you, Chairman Woodard. Can we have a motion on Article 2?
Move to amend the vote taken under Article 4, FY15 budget of the 2014 annual town meeting by transferring $450,180.47 from free cash to 400 Public Works Snow and Ice.
Does that motion receive a second?
It does.
Mr. Woodard for a presentation.
This is something we do every year. Usually we try and transfer the money to cover the deficit from other town departments. We don't have the luxury of doing that this year. There's no reserves left in the budget, and so we have no choice but to go to free cash to plug the gap.
Does the Finance Committee have a position on this article?
The Finance Committee unanimously supports this article.
Board of Selectmen have a position?
The Board of Selectmen unanimously supports this article.
Anyone wish to be heard on Article 2? I see no one. We'll proceed to a vote. A majority vote is required on this article. All in favor, please signify by raising your cards. All opposed? The vote is unanimous. Article 2 passes. Article 3. That's okay. Mr. Woodard for a motion under Article 3.
Move to transfer $141,600 from free cash to the stabilization fund established under Article 12 of the October 7, 1982 special town meeting.
Does that motion receive a second? It does. Mr. Woodard.
This is more complicated than the stabilization fund article normally is. We originally planned to request a transfer of $351,600 from free cash to the stabilization fund in order to keep the stabilization fund at a level equal to 5% of our operating budget, the amount recommended by our accountants and generally expected of AAA-rated communities by the rating agencies. New NSTAR procedures with regard to how they pay for electricity generated at the transfer station solar field have forced us to change plans. So let me explain. A private company named Palo Verde owns, operates, and maintains the solar field at our transfer station. The town buys electricity generated by the solar field from Palo Verde, and we in turn sell that energy to NSTAR at a markup. NSTAR, until recently, has paid us for their energy purchase with a credit to the town's energy bill, which we have used to pay Palo Verde. We've been notified recently by NSTAR that they've decided instead to send checks for the amount that they owe. This means that the energy budget for FY16, next to this coming year, previously calculated by netting out the amount of an expected $210,000 NSTAR credit, will be $210,000 higher. This would be okay if we could simply record the NSTAR checks that we receive in the amount of $210,000 as additional revenues and apply them to pay for the increase in the budget. But under state law, we cannot do this in FY16 because it can only be done through a special revolving fund into which the checks must be deposited. In order to have that revolving fund available to deal with this issue in FY16, a request for the fund needed to be in the warrant for this town meeting, but unfortunately we were not notified of the new procedure by NSTAR until well after the warrant for this town meeting had closed. We will have a request for this revolving fund on the 2016 warrant so that we can apply these checks to the budget in FY17. For FY16, the $210,000 checks will go into the general fund, and the funds will not be available until free cash as of the end of FY16 is certified, sometime in the fall of 2016. So on paper, we have a $210,000 deficit in the proposed 2016 budget, even though the checks to cover it will be in the general fund. The suggested solution to the problem, reduce the amount of the requested transfer to the stabilization fund in Article 3 by $210,000, thereby increasing the remaining free cash on hand by like amount. We will propose in Article 4 to use that amount of free cash to fund a $210,000 increase in the operating budget to account for the fact that the operating budget will go up by that amount without the NSTAR credits. While that will leave the stabilization fund below the recommended level of 5% of the operating budget, free cash will remain at the recommended level of 0.5% of the operating budget. And we'll have the $210,000 in the general fund, and in 2017 we will vote to move it to the stabilization fund along with whatever additional recommended amount is appropriate at the time. Thank you.
Thank you. Does the Finance Committee have a position on the motion under Article 3?
The Finance Committee unanimously recommends Article 3.
Board of Selectmen?
The Board of Selectmen unanimously supports this motion.
Okay. Discussion. Anybody wish to be heard on the motion under Article 3? Okay. I see someone here. Please stand and get a microphone.
Elaine Barnard Goldstein, 40 Indian Ridge Road. Will there be any, if this article passes, will there be any effect on the payment of debts that we currently have? I believe it said that that our rating would go down if we didn't have a full stabilization fund. So will there be any effect this year?
Mr. Woodard.
The rating agencies expect for a AAA rated community like Sudbury to have roughly 5% of their operating budget in the stabilization fund. If in this case we have 4.8% and the other 0.2% is identified, known, and is not available primarily because of this clash between a large company's procedures and state law, I don't think it'll be an issue. I think if there was a substantial deficit, yes, but not for this small an amount.
Okay. Anyone else wish to be heard on the motion under Article 3? Sir. Mr. Tyler.
Ralph Tyler, 1 Deacon Lane. Mr. Woodard, I just had a question to you or someone. How much do we save by maintaining a AAA rating as opposed to, let's say, a AA? What percentage interest rate do we borrow advantageously by having this rating? What might it be if it slips a little bit? I've always heard that this is a good thing, but I've never heard it quantified. Thanks.
I would have to ask someone more familiar with the municipal bond markets than I am. I'm guessing it's less than 50 basis points, less than a half a percent a year, probably smaller than that. So I on our total debt, which if you add it all up is 25+ million dollars. So the amount is not insignificant. But I think equally, if not more important, is the fact that with a AAA rating, you can almost always borrow. It gives you the financial flexibility you need and should want in order to operate what is effectively an $85 million a year business. So personally, I have a strong preference for the AAA rating. I don't think we pay a lot to keep it, and I think it's in our best interest to maintain it.
Okay. Anyone else wish to be heard? On the end, Mr. Coe.
Robert Coe, 14 Churchill Street. How is it that NSTAR was able to make this unilateral change in the payment method? I guess I would have hoped that the payment method would have been a part of the contract.
I'm going to recognize Mr. Braun to answer that question. William Braun, Chairman.
There's an old saying that he who has the gold makes the rules.
Bill Braun, Chairman of the Energy and Sustainability Committee.
Thank you, Mr. Moderator. The regulations that establish net metering provide that the utility has the option to make payments either by credit to a selected accounts or by check. NSTAR elected in our case to change procedure and begin to issue us checks. But it's by regulation, it's their prerogative. It's just that they do have to pay.
Does that answer your question, Mr. Coe? Other questions? Anyone else? I see no one. Quantum of vote required for passage of this article is 2/3. All in favor of the motion under Article 3, please signify by raising your card. All opposed? The motion passes nearly unanimously. By more than 2/3 and nearly unanimously. Thank you, Town Council. I appreciate that. Tug on my sleeve whenever I'm making a mistake, please. On to Article 4. This is the budget. Before we start, there's a few brief notes on procedure. We will begin with a so-called limiting motion from the Finance Committee that proposes an appropriation not to exceed the amount required to fund the FinCom's budget proposal. The limiting motion, if passed, will then establish the overall limit of the budget. A vote in favor of the motion does not mean that the Hall has approved the particular distribution of the total amount as set forth in the warrant, but rather establishes the upper limits of our budget appropriation for fiscal 2016. Once we dispose of the limiting motion, the Finance Committee will then make a main motion on the budget. At that time, I will read, line by line, items 100 to 900 in your warrant and the main motion. And at that time, you can make a motion to amend, to reduce a line item, or to increase one item and decrease another, as long as the net amount of your amendment does not cause the total amount appropriated to exceed the amount established by the limiting motion. Everybody got that? It will be out of order to make a motion merely to increase a line item if that increase would cause the main budget figure to exceed the limiting motion amount. If you're unclear about this procedure, please review the bottom third of pages 2 and 3 in the warrant. Any questions about the budget? Yes, sir. I'm sorry, I can't. Can you please say that again? The mic should be on. You just need to speak loudly. Sorry.
Julia LaFerrera, 47 Windmill Drive. My question is, the number on the slide is $210,000 more than what's listed in the warrant. What is the reason for that?
Ms. Berry, Chairman of the FinCom.
Susan Berry, Chair of the FinCom. Yes, there is a reason. So it's $210,000 more than what's in the warrant for the reasons that we just discussed in Article 3. It's the $210,000 that's going to be added to the Public Works line item. And that's why the limiting motion is $210,000 more.
Okay, I now recognize you, Ms. Berry, for a limiting motion.
Susan Berry, 4 Dawson Drive, Chair of the FinCom. I move that the amount appropriated under the FY16 budget not exceed the sum of $88,711,995.
Does that motion receive a second? It does. Ms. Berry, I would ask that you now deliver the Finance Committee's statement of the town's financial condition. As was the case with Mr. Woodard's statement on the state of the town, there's no limit for this, the time limit on this address. So, Ms. Berry.
Thank you, Mr. Moderator. In my remarks on the FY16 recommended budget and town finances, I will touch on the 6 topics you see on the screen. Since the recommended FY16 operating budget will result in a residential tax increase of 3.86%, I begin by explaining how this is possible without the towns needing to pass an override. Under Proposition 2.5, the maximum allowable levy includes a 2.5% increase over the prior year's levy limit, plus new growth, plus capital exclusions voted in the prior year, plus debt exclusion. If the actual levy is less than the maximum allowable, the unused amount is the excess levy capacity that you see in column 4 on the slide. The FY15 excess levy capacity is $968,165, and this amount will be used within the limits of Proposition 2.5 to help fund the FY16 budget. In addition, part of the increase in the FY15 to FY16 budget is due to increased debt service outside of Proposition 2.5, outside of the Proposition 2.5 levy limit. For FY16, this increase, which includes debt service for the police, Johnson Farm, the police station, Johnson Farm, and repairs to Nixon School, is $636,280 of the budget increase. Early in the fall of 2014, calculations showed that cost centers budgets could increase within Proposition 2.5 by about 3.56% for the reasons I just talked about. However, the Finance Committee issued budget guidelines to town government, Sudbury Public Schools, and Lincoln Sudbury Regional High School, asking each cost center to prepare two smaller budgets for FY16. One, a 2% budget increase. The committee wanted to see the impact on services for each cost center if budget growth was slowed. Two, a 2.5% budget increase, which was in line with recent budget growth of somewhere between 2.5 and 2.7%. In addition, the Finance Committee offered the option for cost centers to present a level service budget, one that provides for the same service levels in FY16 as funded through the FY15 budget. The 2% and the 2.5% budgets presented to the Finance Committee in February would result in cuts in services by all three cost centers. The level service budget requests were not possible to accommodate within Proposition 2.5. After studying the requests, the Finance Committee agreed that we could recommend a no-override budget that was a reasonable balance between the needs of the taxpayers and the ability of the cost centers to provide services and the quality of education the community expects to receive. The gap between a 2.5% growth budget and a level service budget was over $1 million, primarily due to the following factors. One, the town budget has to include about $200,000 in decreased revenue from ambulance fees, which are used to offset the fire budget. Two, adopting full day as the kindergarten program means the FY16 SPS budget must absorb approximately $650,000 in lost revenue from fees previously charged. And three, the FY16 LS budget contains a net increase in out-of-district costs for special education, somewhere between $450,000 and $700,000, depending on the amount of circuit breaker reserves used to cover these costs. In addition, as recommended by the OPEB Liabilities Committee, a budget line item was added to each cost center to fund their other post-employment benefits normal cost. Normal costs are the present value of future health care benefits earned by current employees in the current year. It is part of the compensation for working in the current year, along with the employee's salary and current benefits. The recommendation of the OPEB committee was to begin the funding in FY16 and by FY18 have the full cost included in each of the cost center's budgets. The table on the screen shows the calculated normal cost for current employees and the FY16 amount the Finance Committee is recommending. For FY16, we are recommending an operated budget, as we just said, of $88,711,995, which results in a total general fund budget at this point of approximately $89.4 million. The recommended operating budget represents a residential tax increase, as I said earlier, of 3.86%. and a total increase in taxes of approximately $3.2 million. To reach a no-override recommendation, the Finance Committee requested that each cost center show where they would make cuts in their level service budget to get to a 2.5% increase budget. After reviewing these costs, the Finance Committee, in a departure from past years, allocated additional available revenues where we determined they were most needed to avoid staffing reductions that would adversely affect services. The additional allocations voted were $160,000 for town government, $200,000 for SPS, and $395,000 for LS. In addition, the Finance Committee reduced the recommended FY16 normal cost for OPEB We requested that the Board of Selectmen postpone for a year a vote on appropriating revenues to the stabilization fund for rolling stock, and the Finance Committee voted to recommend the use of $410,000 in free cash as part of the funding source of the operating budget. I will talk a bit more about this in a minute. The FY16 recommended operating budget, which includes a portion of the normal cost for OPEB for the first time, represents a 4.47% increase in the budget for LS, a 3.36% increase for SPS, and a 3.54% increase for town government over their respective FY15 budgets. What you see on the screen for LS is Sudbury assessment, not the LS budget numbers. For purposes of comparison in this slide, the $210,000 added to the town government budget as we voted in Article 3 is not included, since this $210,000 will not be part of their budget in FY17. Using free cash to fund the operating budget. As was discussed under Article 3, use of the $210,000 of free cash is a one-year fix only. The payments from Eversource, approximately $370,000 in FY16, will more than replenish this use of the town's free cash. In addition, reimbursements in FY17 for the increased number of out-of-district students and for the full-day kindergarten students, $180,000 and $150,000 respectively, will more than cover in FY17 the additional $200,000 taken from free cash to help fund the FY16 operating budget. One additional note on free cash. The Finance Committee recommends that the town maintain a level of unallocated free cash equal to at least 0.5% of the current year's operating budget. In other words, when this town meeting adjourns, we recommend that at least $450,000 of free cash remains unallocated. Finally, the Minuteman Regional High School District assessment to Sudbury. Although a small part of the budget, the FY16 assessment has once again increased by over 20%. Some of this increase is due to the increased number of students attending Minuteman. However, in FY16, there is both an increase in the number of Sudbury students attending Minuteman, and the assessment per student has also increased by over 11%, for reasons over which the town has little control. As we discuss our options for future vocational education for Sudbury students, I think it is useful to keep this information in mind. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Berry. I'll now recognize representatives of each of the cost centers to explain their positions on the budget. Interim Town Manager Marianne Bilodeau will speak for the town, Superintendent Ann Wilson for SPS, and Superintendent Bella Wong for Lincoln Sudbury. As you may recall, Article 2, Section 11 of the bylaw forbids that any initial presentation by the proponents of an article exceed 10 minutes in length unless the hall grants additional time. In the past, this hall has recognized the inherent difficulty associated with having three cost centers present within a 10-minute time frame and has authorized each administrator to speak for 5 minutes for a total presentation of 15 minutes. May I have such a motion? Does that have a second? Thank you. All in favor? All opposed? That passes unanimously. Ms. Bilodeau.
Thank you, Mr. Moderator. Good evening. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Marianne Bilodeau. I've been serving as the interim town manager since February, when our former town manager, Maureen Valente, left to become a deputy treasurer under the state treasurer's office. 2015 has certainly been a year of change, but it's important to know that our core values are still the same. The staff of the town of Sudbury are here to work in a collaborative process with our elected and appointed officials, our residents, and our business sector to protect the public safety, our shared publicly owned assets, as well as to protect the special quality of life in Sudbury, as it has been handed down to us over the past 375 years from previous generations, and we hope to pass down to the next generation. Before I review the fiscal year 16 budget, I wanted to update a few items with you. On October 31st, we broke ground on the new police station. And for those of you who haven't been by there, here are a couple of pictures that were taken at the end of last week. As you can see, a lot of progress has been made, and we hope to have the new police station operational by the end of this year. In February, we closed on the Johnson Farm property. And last week, work was begun to improve Sudbury's historical town center. I'd also like to acknowledge all of our military men and women who serve our country and their families who stay behind, and thank you all for your service. Now moving on to the fiscal year 16 budget. Overall, the town's budget has increased by 4.7%. This does not include the 1% impact that was referred to by the Finance Committee Chairman that's from the adjustment for the utility credits. 1.2% of the increase is due to the offsets from the ambulance receipts reserved for appropriation. This fund is down significantly in the amount of $205,000, which is about 24% lower than it was last year. Without this offset, we need to fund it through the town's limited budget. It's important to point out that the cost of keeping our town's departments operational at level service prior to these offsets beyond our control is 3.5% over last year. I'd like to address what's new in this budget. And though I may briefly review these items, please take time to take a look in the back of the warrant because we have a lot of detail back there to describe all of the items that I will review. In conservation, we added additional hours for clerical support so that the staff could be available to the public more than the 9 hours a week that they're there. We've also added some additional money for trail maintenance. In public works, we've added $50,000 to start a culvert replacement and repair program. Our vehicle maintenance costs have increased significantly, and the amount in this budget is more in line with the costs that have been, with what the costs have been over the last couple of years. In combined facilities, we've added a full-time electrician's position to be shared with the schools, and in the Board of Health, we've added a full-time nurse's position. Both the electrician and the nurse's position will be offset by savings in our contracted services line. In the library, we've increased hours for the library clerks for more coverage at night for safety reasons. We've also increased the hours for the young adult librarian. The OPEB normal cost is new this year. Based on the recommendations from the Strategic Financial Planning Committee for OPEB liabilities, a supplemental budget line has been added to each of the cost center's budgets to begin the process of funding the OPEB normal cost. The goal is to begin funding this cost in fiscal year 16 and by fiscal year 18 have the full normal cost included in each of the cost center's budgets. I thought it would be important to note what's not included in this budget. Our budget focuses on what's required to sustain our current level of services. We continue to add more services, but we don't add to our headcount to keep up with this increased demand. Overall, the town's full-time equivalent count is up by less than one full-time employee compared to where we were 6 years ago. We have to pick and choose which critical needs can fit within the constraints of our budget, which gets more difficult each year. In summary, the town is more than just a separate cost center. It's really many diverse businesses under one umbrella, all with different needs and different and ever-changing mandates. And lastly, and most importantly, I'd like to recognize our employees for all that they do. With the back-to-back loss of our town manager and our finance director several months ago, the staff has stepped up to the plate to help in any way that they could. We're a service-oriented business, and our employees are dedicated and always willing to chip in to reach our common goal, which is serving the public. I'd like to express my deep gratitude to our employees, our volunteers, and our public officials, as well as members of the community who have reached out to me with a kind word or to offer assistance over the last several months. It's because of all of you that we have such a successful organization, and it's a pleasure to be part of such a dedicated and compassionate group of people. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Bilodeau. Dr. Wilson for Sudbury Public Schools.
Thank you. At SPS, our mission is to enable all students to reach their intellectual and personal potential. We work in partnership with families in the community to provide the highest quality education for all students in the safest environment possible. To begin the presentation, I would like to highlight three things that have impacted or will impact our budget development for fiscal year 16. First, over the past several years, we have experienced a significant decrease in the number of students enrolled in our half-day K program. In fact, for the current school year, we began the year with only 9 students enrolled in half-day kindergarten. We were able to charge tuition for full-day kindergarten to offset the cost of the second half of the school day because half-day kindergarten was available at no cost to families. In light of the clear preference of Sudbury families for full-day kindergarten, supported by current research regarding benefits of early childhood education, the school committee voted to offer only a full-day program for fiscal year 16 and beyond. This decision means that the district will need to absorb the cost of the entire kindergarten program, resulting in an increase to the operating budget of $650,286. Second, enrollment is projected to decrease slightly for fiscal year 16. However, due to decreases in enrollment over the past few years, we were able to adjust staffing at the elementary and middle school levels by 4.0 FTE for fiscal year 16. During the current school year, due to the active housing market, we continue to experience enrollment variance on a monthly basis across the district, and we expect this pattern to continue for fiscal year 16. We were projected to have a total enrollment of 2,832 students for this school year. However, our October 1 enrollment was 2,874 students, 42 more than projected, and our enrollment as of May 1st is 2,894 students, 62 more than projected. Finally, we are currently in the process of negotiating successor agreements with our employee unions. Settlement of those agreements will most likely impact our operating budgets for the next 3 years. Our vision in the Sudbury Public Schools pre-K to 8 reflects our commitment to excellence in educating all students in the area of academics as well as social-emotional development so that they will be influential, contributing members of our community and society. We have developed a theory of action to help bring our vision to life. This causal statement that shows our focus on providing differentiated high-quality instruction, a safe environment, instructional leadership and staff development, and the use of data to inform instruction. We expect that the results of this focus will lead to students being challenged with varied learning needs met, growth in our capacity as educators, and a narrowing of the current achievement proficiency gaps. From this theory of action, our strategic objectives were developed. The objectives are predicated upon the notion that the instructional core is a necessary focus of our efforts. This is the interaction of teachers and students in the presence of content or curriculum. We focus on this interaction as we plan programmatic enhancements, professional development, and as we develop and identify assessments of student progress. Our 4 strategic objectives include the following: a high-quality content and differentiated instruction in a safe environment, alignment of curriculum and assessments to meet rigorous Massachusetts standards, the use of a variety of data to inform improvement, and to sustain excellence through effective and efficient use of available resources to support our work on the instructional core. I'd like to share some of our accomplishments so far this year. These accomplishments reflect our commitment and focus on meeting the academic as well as social-emotional needs of all students. Accomplishments include the following. District teams have begun work to enhance inclusive education and to define a tiered system of support for social, emotional, and behavioral needs. This is a work in progress and will be ongoing. A co-teaching pilot, which joins general educator and a special educator to meet individual student needs within the general ed classroom. Our one-to-one technology has been successfully implemented in sixth and seventh grade. We've increased teacher collaboration at the elementary level. We've incorporated a middle school instructional technology specialist and technician to support the use of technology as a teaching and learning tool. We have full-time math coaches in place at all of our elementary schools to enhance learning opportunities for all students. And finally, implementation of the Massachusetts standards, development and pilot, and implementation of common assessments has been accomplished. Finally, a team is in the process now of finalizing a district report card so that we can more adequately communicate district progress. While we benefit from many accomplishments, there remain challenges for fiscal year 16 and beyond in order to meet the needs of all students. Specifically, we need to continue to work on our proficiency gaps. Recent results of standardized assessments from spring 14 showed an increase in the performance of our students with disabilities in math and of students in our low-income subgroup for both math and ELA. We must continue our work in this regard. Differentiation, inclusive educational opportunities, and a tiered system of support team is in progress to address social, emotional, and behavioral needs. Additional challenges include the acquisition of
Excuse me. I heard it. How much more time do you need?
Less than a minute.
Any objection?
Please continue. Thank you. Implementation of mandates requiring much time and resources, collective bargaining, time to for teachers to meet and for students to learn, and additional resources for data management, analysis, and communication, which is delayed until fiscal 17. The most important message regarding the voted fiscal year 16 budget is that the budget is responsive to student learning needs. This budget includes the following: universal full-day kindergarten, enhanced support for social-emotional behavioral needs, enhanced inclusive practices through middle school co-teaching. We fully implement student-centered instructional technology at Curtis Middle School for fiscal 16. We maintain the increased support in mathematics. We maintain in-district special education programming. And our class sections have been allocated based on student enrollment projections and the school committee class size guidelines. Our budget is developed with purposeful focus on student needs, both academic and social-emotional. In the school committee voted fiscal year 16 budget, we have addressed student academic, social-emotional, behavioral, and safety needs with the budget elements displayed on the screen. The school committee voted fiscal year 16 budget is within the parameters set by FinCom in their annual letter to cost centers, allowing for a 2.5% increase plus the additional $200,000 that you heard Ms. Berry discuss over our fiscal year 15 budget. Unfortunately, all of the SPS needs are not included in that budget. And as one example, as you see on the screen, we will delay the establishment of the data analyst position until fiscal year 17. Finally, as presented in the warrant, the SPS budget for fiscal 16 is a non-override budget that reflects an overall increase aside from the OPEB cost of 3.02% over the appropriated fiscal year 15 budget. It's an honor to serve the Sudbury community and to work with a talented and dedicated team of educators and support staff with a laser focus on what is best for students, along with parents who are actively involved in their children's education. Thank you for your support as we commit to excellence for all Sudbury students.
Thank you, Dr. Wilson. Superintendent Bella Wong for LS.
Moderator, I'm Bella Wong, the superintendent principal for Lincoln Sudbury High School. Before starting on the budget presentation, I take this moment to acknowledge Bill Place, director of DPW, and his crew. It was a trying winter for us. I thank Bill and his team for what they did to assure we could open school on time and safely whenever we could. For us at the high school, every day lost during the winter is a day lost from prep time for spring standardized tests such as the AP exams and college matriculation exams, including the ACTs and SATs, which is time that cannot be compensated for at the end of June. As the snow cancellations added up every day we could open, it became especially important to us, so I thank you. In further regard to safety, I take this moment to thank our safety chiefs, Scott Nix and Bill Miles. If not at least once a week, one of their departments can be found on our campus. If they weren't so attentive to our needs as they have been, we would have a lot more to share with you than that simple fact. I express my deepest appreciation to them and their departments who are working with us to keep our students safe. I acknowledge the members of our school committee that are here in the second row with me. This year's district goal was to revisit and reaffirm our core values. As a result, our long existing three core values have been slightly revised. It is my pleasure to introduce the addition of a new fourth core value, cultivating community. Through this core value, we hope to instill the importance of one's commitment to one's community, as well as the importance of one's community to one's own well-being, emphasizing the pertinent communities to include one's family, one's team, one's school, one's town, one's country, and one's place in a global community. Related to our core values are our overarching school goals, what students should be able to do by the time they graduate, and ensuring access to equity and excellence for all students. To that end, we have renewed a school-wide discussion and have launched two initiatives, a global scholars program and a variety of new technology initiatives. The purpose of our conversations is to reinforce a cohesive understanding of what we want the LX experience to be and to ensure and facilitate that being accessible for all of our students. LS is no doubt a high-performing school district. Our LS students continue to perform at an extremely high level. And this is the placement of our students in four-year colleges. Our in-school enrollment, we are in the middle of a projected flat enrollment of 1,600-plus students. We are in year two of that four-year projected flat enrollment, associated with which is a large class of 2017, are currently sophomores, and will be juniors next year. This is a graph of our five-year enrollment, and you can pick that larger class as it proceeds. Our budget priorities this year were to work with the budget guidance provided by the Lincoln and Sudbury Finance Committees of 2.5%. And where possible, we focused on trying to support a level service educational program to ensure postgraduate success for all our students. A critical priority for this year's budget process was the need to collaborate with town boards and staff to minimize reductions to the current educational program. Expanding on the previous slide, is a review of the level service funding request that we started with. We asked for no funding for new educational programs. We were trying to sustain our current course offerings and maintain current class size median, which is on average 24 or 25 across the academic core of English, math, science, social studies, and language. And there were no increases in discretionary expense line items. There was a proposal for new staff for safety reasons and also to sustain our technology integration aligned with our network infrastructure improvement this year. The safety request was for an additional 0.4 FTE in school nurse. We currently have 1.6 school nurses for 1,600 students. So 40% of the time that school is in operation, there is one school nurse for 1,600 students. Cost savings and efficiencies. We completed an external review of our student services program, the Walker Report, and we have been implementing those recommendations through grant funding, professional development, and reallocation of current staffing. We also currently offer 6 specialized intensive programs to mitigate the need for placing students out of district. Our utility cost savings were achieved for this year. We have a decreased number for utility costs for next year. We upgraded our energy management systems over last summer, and we retrofitted all exterior lighting to LED fixtures. Our health insurance budget is also reduced for next year. While rates have gone up, our experience was so positive this year that we readjusted our base, applied the insurance rates increase, and still have a net reduction in health insurance for next year. This was a very challenging budget process for this year. The outcome... I have 4 slides.
How much time do you need?
I have 4 slides.
How much time do you
4
need?
4 minutes.
I'm sorry?
4 minutes.
Superintendent Wong has asked for 4 more minutes. Is there any objection? Please proceed, Superintendent Wong.
Thank you. This was a very challenging budget process for us this year. The outcome we have achieved would not have been possible but for a high degree of collaboration and cooperation across a wide spectrum of stakeholders, for which I express my appreciation on behalf of the students of Lincoln Sudbury. A special nod to Maureen Valente and Andrea Turkelson, who were ably succeeded by Marianne Bilodeau and worked together to effect a remarkably seamless transition through such a significant shift in town administration. An expeditious settlement of the teacher contract resulted in a three-year agreement of 1%, 2.5%, and 3% salary increases associated with a shift in health insurance contribution rates to realize an effective projected impact of 1%, 1.5%, and 2% over the next 3 years for active employees. Additionally, contribution rates for future retirees will decrease from 70 to 65% in year two, and then again from 65 to 50% in year three. All of these factors and a convergence of support for the LS school budget resulted in an additional $415,000 to avoid critical staff reductions. This is the level service budget as it was voted by the school committee in February, and then it shows the revised number. The school committee has agreed to a reduction approximately of $475,000, which they will confirm in a vote. And the budget being presented to you for confirmation is the one on the right, with a $415,000 additional from the finance committee guidance. The reductions to level service are outlined here. $250,000 from our out-of-district tuition account reserves, no new staff, $100,000 from instructional equipment, and then $25,000 from professional development and $25,000 from other materials. The operating budget recap is here. It reflects a decrease in insurance, decrease in utilities, but an increase in tuition costs related to specialized services and tuition costs mitigated by a shift of $250,000 from tuition reserves. This is the projected FY16 assessment. Contribution from Lincoln and the contribution from Sudbury. The Sudbury contribution is up by $720,836, which represents a 3.4% increase over the prior year. And just a final thank you to the members of the boards and, of course, our very own Lincoln Sudbury School Committee. Thank you.
Thank you, Superintendent Wong. Mark, could we have the limiting motion back on the view graph, please? Okay. Does the Board of Selectmen have a position on the limiting motion?
The Board of Selectmen supports the limiting motion.
Okay. Does anybody wish to be heard on the limiting motion? I see no one. This motion requires a majority vote. All those in favor, please signify by raising your cards. All opposed? The motion passes by well more than a majority. Okay, on to the main motion under Article 4. Ms. Berry from the FinCom for a motion.
Move that the amount appropriated under the FY16 budget not exceed the sum of $888,711,995. Move that the town appropriate the sums of the money set forth in the column FY16 recommended for FY16 as shown on the screen. Said sums to be raised by transfer of $410,000 from free cash and the remainder to be raised by taxation, except that the following items be raised and designated by transfer from available fund balances and interfund transfers. From ambulance reserves for appropriation account to 200, public safety, $625,000. The sum of $5,934,990 set forth as Sudbury Public Schools employee benefits to be immediately transferred and added to item 900, town employee benefits, so that the employee benefits total will be $10,501,358, to be expended under the town manager, the sum of $131,779 set forth as Sudbury Public School OPEB normal cost to be immediately transferred and added to item 1,000 SBS/town OPEB normal cost, so that the OPEB normal cost total will be $194,181, and to authorize the town manager to transfer $1,131,538 of the funds from item 900 employee benefits and $194,181 from item 1,000 SPS/town OPEB normal cost to the OPEB trust established to meet expenses for post-employment health and life insurance benefits for eligible retirees, and to expend such funds for that purpose, and to authorize the purchase of equipment funded under this budget by entering into lease purchase agreements, and to authorize multi-year contracts in excess of 3 years, either by renewal, extension, or purchase options, in accordance with the provisions of Massachusetts General Law, Chapter 30B, Section 12, upon determination by the Chief Procurement Officer, and to be the most advantageous offer.
Does that motion receive a second? It does. Ms. Berry, do you have anything to say before we move to the budget line item procedure?
The only thing I have to say is that the Finance Committee voted 7-1 in favor of recommending this budget.
Thank you. You may recall from my instructions, now is the time that I will read each line of the proposed budget and ask if anyone has a motion to amend or a question. Remember, because we have enacted the limiting motion, any motion to increase a line item must include a provision to decrease another line item in the same amount, so that the total amount appropriated under the main motion does not exceed the upper limit previously established by the limiting motion. You can also make a motion to decrease a line item at any time. Before we start this process, please note that there is a wealth of detail and information regarding each of these line items in the Finance Committee report that begins on page 46 of the warrant. For instance, if you want to know more about the various components of the SPS budget as it appears in items 300 and 1,000 of Article 4, you need look no further than the extensive detail and narrative beginning on page 16 of the Finance Committee's report. So I'll now read the Article 4 line items. Please stand and let me know if you have a question or a motion to amend. I'm on page 3 of the warrant. Sudbury Public Schools net $33,749,343. SPS employee benefits $5,934,990. SPS OPEB normal cost $131,779. Lincoln Sudbury operating assessment net $21,404,879. Lincoln Sudbury OPEB normal cost assessment $64,799. Lincoln Sudbury operating debt service assessment $666,506. General government, $2,719,850.
Mr. Moderator, you missed Minuteman.
Beg your pardon. Thank you. Minuteman regional assessment, $694,384. Back to general government, $2,719,850. Public safety, $7,218,029. Public Works, $5,152,060. Sorry? I'm reading from the warrant. Hang on. Do you have the info? Hang on. Thank you. I beg your pardon. Public Works, $5,362,060. Human Services, $659,188. Culture and Recreation, $1,233,397. Employee Benefits, $4,566,368. OPEB Normal Cost, $62,402. Town Debt Service, $3,719,050.
Mike?
Yep.
You missed others and transfers. Others and transfers.
Sorry. So small. Item 900, other and transfers, $524,971. Okay. There are no holds and questions, so we'll proceed to a vote. Majority is required. All in favor of the main motion under Article 4, please signify by raising your cards. All opposed? The main motion under Article 4 passes almost unanimously, and by well more than a majority. Article 5, motion by Joan Carlton from the FinCom.
Article 5 is regarding the FY16 Transfer Station Enterprise Fund Budget.
Ms. Carlton, you must begin with a motion.
The motion is to move to appropriate the sum of $498,256 for the Transfer Station Enterprise Fund for FY16, and further to authorize use of an additional $16,700 of Enterprise Fund receipts for indirect costs. Such sums to be raised by $330,156 in receipt of the enterprise and use of retained earnings of $184,800 of the enterprise. I would just like to make one point.
Just a minute. Hold on. Does that motion receive a second? It does. Ms. Carlton.
Yeah, I just want to make one point. The $184,800 coming from retained earnings is for the purchase of a 10-wheel roll-off truck. This type truck is used to haul waste and recycling from the transfer station. It was last replaced in 2006, and the typical replacement cycle is 7 to 10 years.
Okay. Does the Finance Committee have a position on this motion under Article 5?
Yes. The Finance Committee unanimously recommends approval of this article.
Does the Board of Selectmen have a position on the motion under Article 5?
The Board of Selectmen supports this article.
Okay, anyone wish to be heard on Article 5? I see no one. The quantum of vote required for this passage is a majority. All in favor of the motion under Article 5, please raise your card. All opposed? Motion passes unanimously. Article 6, Ms. Carlton for a motion.
Move to appropriate the sum of $578,043 for the Pool Enterprise Fund for FY16. Such sum is to be raised from $496,000 in receipts of the enterprise and the use of retained earnings of $82,043 of the enterprise.
Does that motion have a second? Thank you. Ms. Carlton, for a report.
No further report.
Board of Selectmen have a position on this motion?
The Board of Selectmen supports this article.
Let me add that the Finance Committee, there was no report, but the Finance Committee recommends approval of this article.
Thank you. Any discussion on this? Anyone want to be heard under the motion under Article 6? I see no one. The vote required is a majority. All in favor in favor of the motion on Article 6, please raise your cards. All opposed? The motion passes unanimously. Article 7. Ms. Carlton, for a motion.
Move to appropriate the sum of $218,086 for the Recreation Field Maintenance Enterprise Fund for FY16 and authorize use of an additional $21,500 of the Enterprise Fund receipts for indirect costs. Such sums to be raised from $203,000 in receipts of the Enterprise and the use of retained earnings of $36,586 of the Enterprise.
Does that motion receive a second? It does. Ms. Carlton, for a report.
Finance Committee unanimously recommends approval of this article.
Board of Selectmen?
The Board of Selectmen supports this article.
Anyone wish to be heard on Article 7? I see no one. The vote required is a majority. All in favor, please raise your cards. All opposed? The motion passes unanimously. Article 8. Christine Nyhan, Town Accountant, for a motion.
Mr. Moderator, I motion to postpone indefinitely.
Okay,
there are no unpaid bills.
The motion is to indefinitely postpone. Is there a second? Ms. Nyhan, do you have anything to say?
No.
Okay. I thought not. Finance Committee, do you have a position on this article?
The Finance Committee agrees with the IP on this article.
Board of Selectmen?
We didn't take a position, not for lack of interest. We just didn't take a position.
Anyone wish to be heard on the indefinite postponement of Article 8? This vote requires a 4/5 passage. All in favor, please raise your cards. All opposed, the motion passes unanimously. Article 9 was dealt with in the consent calendar. Article 10... 11 and 12 were all dealt with in the consent calendar. We're on to Article 13. Motion by Chairman Woodard. Page 10 of your warrant. Technical difficulties?
I need the motion. Move to transfer $1.1 million from free cash to be placed in a special stabilization fund established under this article for the purpose of grading or otherwise preparing the town-owned so-called Malone property shown on Town of Sudbury Assessor's Map C-12 as parcel 0100 and located on North Road for reuse for municipal purposes or sale.
Does that motion receive a second? It does. Mr. Woodard.
The purpose of the original Malone Fund, which was established as the DPW Gravel Pit Mining Revolving Fund at the 2002 annual town meeting, was to set aside a portion of the revenues collected from the sale of gravel from this property to be used to restore the property once mining operations were complete. And after many years of mining, I'll give you a sense of what the property looks like. And actually, I'll just point out the picture. Part of the property is in Concord. So state revolving fund regulations that were promulgated after this Malone Fund was established no longer permit the type of fund that we used for Malone. And as a result,
The fund was closed, and the balance of $1,163,727 was transferred to free cash. With this new article, we are asking town meeting to revoke $1.1 million of the July 1, 2014 certified free cash into a state-approved form of special purpose stabilization fund for the same purpose as originally intended, to restore the property roughly to its condition before mining commenced. So a couple of things to consider as you before you vote on this request. The money was not collected from taxpayers in the form of taxes. It was collected from the sale of gravel. DPW Director Place estimates that the cost of restoration to be about $1 million today. And finally, the answer to the question, when will we use the funds to restore the property, depends on when the town decides what to do with the property. Town meeting voted last year to use $150,000 of CPC funds to study the property for use as affordable housing while minimizing the impact on the schools. The intent was to see if we could use Malone to meet the 40B minimum of 10% affordable housing units in town so that developers can no longer bypass our zoning bylaws. With the potential sale of the Raytheon property to a developer whose plans might very well include affordable housing, we are waiting to see what that plan looks like to decide whether it makes sense to modify our plans for Malone. If we were to go to the affordable housing route with Malone, it might be that we could put the cost of the property restoration on the developer and return the $1.1 million to taxpayers. If, as a result of Raytheon, we do not need to use all of the property for affordable housing, using some for recreational facilities and perhaps, as has been suggested by one resident, some for Buddy Dog, we might very well have to restore the property ourselves, in which case we will need the $1.1 million. Thank you.
Thank you. Finance Committee?
The Finance Committee unanimously recommends approval of Article 13.
What is the Board of Selectmen's position on this article?
The Board of Selectmen unanimously supports this article.
Okay. Does anyone wish to be heard on Article 13? Oh, I'm sorry. Right here, sir.
William Stevenson, 135 Greystone Lane. I drive by this property every day, and it's very beautiful when you drive by Verrill Farm with the fields out there. So even though it's a gravel pit, it's sort of blocked as you're driving by on 117. Is there any limitation in the zoning as to what will be done with the property?
I'm not sure I'm the best person to answer the question.
Jody Kablak.
Zoning. Is Jody?
Do you have an answer for that?
I'm going to ask our planning department director to answer that.
Planning and Community Development. There's lots of limitations on zoning up there. It's zoned research district, which has its own set of uses that could happen there. The town could, at some future date, decide to rezone that property as well. I don't think that this article is talking about what will happen with it. It's just setting aside the money to actually restore the surface of that property should some use be deemed appropriate in the future.
No, you're not. You can ask another question to me, and if it's appropriate for Ms. Kablak to answer it, I'll redirect it to her. Do you have another question? Sure? Okay. Anyone else wish to be heard? No other questions? Okay. Let's do a vote. Majority is required in order for this motion to pass. Right. Okay. Beg your pardon? Two-thirds. All in favor of the motion under Article 13, please signify by raising your cards. All opposed. The motion passes by well greater than two-thirds. Article 14. Motion by Selectman O'Brien.
Mr. Moderator, the Board of Selectmen moves to indefinitely postpone.
Is there a second? That does receive a second. Any thoughts on the motion, Mr. O'Brien?
Thank you, Mr. Moderator. Yes, in light of the previous discussion and presentation by the Finance Committee Chair and the difficulties in balancing this year's budget, it was determined to forego transferring money from the receipts of the DPW cell tower located on the DPW property known as the transfer station, which is approximately $113,000. It is the anticipation of the board that to fund the rolling stock stabilization fund that we established at last year's town meeting, that this article would most likely reappear next year, hopefully with the ability to begin funding that stabilization fund so that as we go forward, we'll have an additional source of revenue to be able to upkeep and maintain our rolling stock that's very vital to the operations of the DPW department.
Thank you. Does the Finance Committee have a position on the motion under Article 14?
The Finance Committee recommends indefinite postponement on this article.
Okay. Anybody wish to be heard on the motion to indefinitely postpone Article 14? I see no one. The vote required for passage is two-thirds. Okay. Gotcha. Once again, I'm incorrect. it's a majority that's required. So all in favor of the motion to indefinitely postpone Article 14, please raise your card. All opposed? Motion passes unanimously. Article 15, Energy Savings Program Stabilization Fund, for a motion, Bill Braun from the Energy and Sustainability Committee.
Thank you, Mr. Moderator. Move to appropriate the sum of $26,000 to be placed in the Energy Savings Program Stabilization Fund established under Article 25 of the 2014 Annual Town Meeting for the purpose of acquiring, installing, or otherwise implementing energy savings capital projects toward the purchase, lease, or debt service payments for said items or programs classified as such. And to meet this appropriation, $13,000 to be transferred from Article 4, Fiscal Year 15, Budget 300, Sudbury Public Schools, net, and $13,000 transferred from Article 4, Fiscal 15, Budget 400, Public Works.
Does that receive a second? It does. Mr. Braun for a presentation.
The little background on the Sudbury solar array on the landfill, as you may recall, it was started on December 16th, 2014. So far, it has produced about 2.4 megawatts of electrical energy to date. That's over the 16 months or so in which it's been in operation. About $212,000 in benefit, which is really the profit that we receive after a purchase of the electricity from the operator and immediate resale back to the grid through Eversource. On an annual basis, that's about $160,000 in quote benefit. Typically, this would produce a favorable balance on our utility accounts, split roughly 50-50, town versus school. And as you heard before, that was the case through March of 2015, and in April we began receiving checks from National Grid from Eversource or NSTAR in lieu of the credits to the energy accounts. This just shows how it works out over a year. You can see you get less in the short winter months than you do in the bright long summer months, but on average it's somewhere around $165,000 again in benefit to the town. That is what's left after we pay for the electric and then sell it back. So if we go back here, in last year's annual town meeting, we set up a revolving fund. And the intent of the revolving fund was to capture some of this benefit or some of this favorable variance that it would occur on the utility budgets, and so as to, A, provide some visibility so people could see it, see what was happening, see the value that was created, and then provide a mechanism for, you know, deliberate and purposeful use of this money for such projects as town meeting might see fit, and thereby relieve some of the pressure on the capital budgets. As you're well aware, this will require a two-thirds vote. I want to make this go forward. Okay, so as you heard, we're requesting $26,000, $13,000 each from the town and the schools. You may have read in the warrant that we had proposed to transfer $100,000, and we were exploring LED lighting and the and a possible replacement of an HVAC unit that need periodic replacement. Obviously, we can't do that because for the reasons that have been brought up in terms of the change from in the form of payment. So what we're to anticipate Article 16, we are not going to request any disbursements from the stabilization fund this year. We're in fact going to save that money and look for and investigate projects that have a higher value proposition than we've seen so far. There are a lot of prospective projects. I don't need to read them. You can see them on the list. But there are a number of things that will provide a long-term benefit to the town but require some upfront capital expenditure. In addition, I should note that a lot of these grants that we receive generally require some expenditure in advance, some study to show the need or to document the value of the things or to show the ability to do some match, so in effect the town has some skin in the game when we get these grants. It definitely promotes that. So that's the proposed use of this fund. So that's pretty much it. It's the same thing we did last year. It's just in the amount of $26,000 this year, and hopefully this thing will grow as time goes on. One parenthetical note, one of the things we had hoped to do, as I think has been mentioned several times, we had hoped to establish a revolving account or maybe even better, an enterprise fund into which we could deposit the receipts and from which we could make disbursements to pay for the electricity and also to pay for some of these other projects with the appropriate approvals. We would hope to do that at a subsequent annual town meeting. The value of that, of course, would be that then would be a better mechanism to do that. And again, we could capture these. In effect, the stabilization, the having this go into free cash kind of does the same thing, except when we see these free cash numbers, we have to remember where some of it came from. So when we do ask for transfers out of free cash back into the Energy Stabilization Fund, we'll know why that's occurring. As was also mentioned, we're going to, you know, we've gone through the mechanism to pay $210,000 out of free cash this year, but some $380,000 in fiscal 16 is going to go back in, as Ms. Berry mentioned, in addition to about $140,000 in checks from NSTAR for fiscal 15. So in the future, we'll hope to recapture some of that into the stabilization fund for the uses that I've mentioned. And just a little plug, and I put this in here so I wouldn't forget to acknowledge the people in the Energy Committee that work so hard, in particular Jim Kelly, who not only does so much of the legwork associated with getting these grants, but then has the burden of administering down the road. And it just could not be done without Jim. So as you can read, so far I'm told by our Ed Lewis, who is a member of our committee who keeps track of this stuff, that so far the Energy Committee has generated about $885,000 in grants and $280,000 in rebates for a total benefit, if you will, to the town of a little over $1 million. So I just want to acknowledge the people who have done that. And with that, I also acknowledge the photographer that provided these pictures that you've seen many times, and ask for your support of this article. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Braun. Mr. Atwater, does the Finance Committee have a position on this motion under Article 15?
The Finance Committee unanimously recommends approval of Article 15.
Selectman Simon, what is the position of the Board of Selectmen?
The Board of Selectmen unanimously supports this article.
Okay. Does anyone wish to be heard on Article 15? Mr. Hardenberg, please wait for a mic.
Just a very simple question. Jan Hardenberg, 7 Tippling Rock Road. EverSource was named NSTAR. Are those terms interchangeable for all the purposes of your presentation?
Yes, thank you. I apologize for any confusion that I introduced. Yeah, NSTAR has apparently become EverSource. Anyone else wish to be heard? Sir, over in the green shirt, can we get him a mic, please?
Greg Hamill, 16 Pine Street. I'm a little confused. Didn't we just pass a budget and you're taking money out of some line items in the budget?
We are. What we're doing is taking the difference between what we have received in net metering credit from EverSource in fiscal 15, the difference between that and what we paid for the electricity, what we will have left after we have covered fiscal 15's expenses for the electric generator, given that we'll be receiving checks and asking to put that in the stabilization fund. If we don't do that, that will have nothing to do with fiscal 16. It will simply roll over into free cash that will be certified at the end of fiscal 16 for use in fiscal 17.
Okay. Other questions or comments? I see none. The vote required for passage is 2/3. All in favor of passing the motion under Article 15, please raise your cards. All opposed? The motion passes by well more than 2/3. Article 16, use of the Energy Savings Program Stabilization Fund. Mr. Braun.
Move to indefinitely postpone Article 16.
Does that receive a second? It does. Mr. Braun?
We don't intend to do any appropriations from the stabilization fund for use in fiscal 16. As I mentioned in the prior presentation, we want to save up for undertake a project with perhaps a higher value proposition down the road.
Does the Finance Committee have a position?
Finance Committee recommends indefinite postponement of this article.
Mr. Simon, what's the position of the Board of Selectmen?
The Board of Selectmen recommends indefinite postponement of this article.
Does anyone wish to be heard on the indefinite postponement of Article 16? I see no one. This requires a majority vote. All in favor, please raise your cards. All opposed? Passes unanimously. Article 17, to establish a special stabilization fund for town-owned synthetic turf fields. Mr. Murata from the Park and Rec Commission for a motion.
Hi, I'm Jim Murata, Chair of the Park and Rec Commission. Move to transfer $100 from the Recreation Field Maintenance Enterprise Fund, retained earnings, to be placed in the Special Stabilization Fund, established under this article for the purpose of replacement or major repair of synthetic turf fields solely owned and operated by the Town of Sudbury.
Does that motion receive a second? It does. A presentation by Mr. Murata.
I think you all know what a special purpose stabilization fund is, so I won't read that, but it's up there. The town owns cutting, and the cost to replace cutting is approximately $400,000. There's a life remaining in cutting of approximately 2 to 5 years, and the Park and Recreation Commission wants to plan to replace that. And this will be the mechanism to establish a reserve account for the replacement of the turf fields. It will be initially funded with a nominal amount, $100. It is anticipated that future funds will be derived from user fees, donations, or other sources. Reserve accounts for short-lived items such as field turf is a sound financial practice. Thank you.
Finance Committee.
Finance Committee unanimously recommends approval of this article.
Thank you. Board of Selectmen position?
The Board of Selectmen support this article.
Thank you, Mr. Hardy. Discussion. Anyone wish to be heard on the motion under Article 17? Yes, ma'am. Can you get a mic back here, please?
Thanks. Marie Royer, 42 Blacksmith Drive. My question really has to do with, will this stabilization fund only apply to synthetic turf fields, or should you decide at some future point to perhaps go back to the good old days of green grass? Will the funds be able to be used for that purpose?
It's my understanding only synthetic turf, as written.
And I'm curious to know, as a follow-up question, do you know what the approximate expense is for maintaining a grass field versus a synthetic turf field?
I do not, but it's more for grass.
Does Thanks. That answer your question? Okay.
Well, I'll do some more research.
Okay. I can see if there's someone here that can answer that question. Is there anyone, town staff, that can address that issue? Yes, please.
Hi, Nancy McShay, Park and Rec and Aquatics Director. To replace the artificial turf field is about $400,000. To maintain natural grass field can average $50,000 to $75,000 a year. So the life expectancy of an artificial turf field, if we're looking at 10 to 12 years, to replace that is $400,000. So if we look at the same cost for a natural grass field during that same time period, we'd be looking at $500,000. So Jim is correct when he's saying it's more. It just depends on how long we get out of the artificial turf field. It costs more initially to buy the artificial turf, but the replacement cost would be less after that 10 years than to maintain the natural grass field. It would be less to install the natural grass field than the artificial turf field. So hopefully that answers your question.
Thank you, Ms. McShay. Any further questions? Anyone wish to be heard on the motion under Article 17? I see no one. The vote required on this motion is 2/3. All in favor, please signify by raising your cards. All opposed? The motion passes by well more than 2/3. Article 18, Fiscal Year 16 Capital Budget. Motion by Interim Town Manager Marianne Bilodeau.
Move to appropriate the sum of $392,750 for the purchase or acquisition of capital items, including but not limited to capital equipment, construction, engineering and design, including but not limited to renovation to buildings. Said sum to be raised by taxation and to authorize the town manager to allocate funds between the underlying departments as needed.
Does that motion receive a second? It does. Ms. Bilodeau and Mr. Woodard have asked to split their time on the presentation, so we're going to begin with Mr. Woodard. 5 minutes.
Thank you. This is a foundation presentation for the following capital articles, this one 18 all the way through 28. So just briefly, I mentioned this earlier, the town has $164 million of capital assets, but we spent an average of $682,000 a year for the 5 years ended 2011. That's less than 0.5% per annum. That's far too low to replenish and maintain our infrastructure. The capital projects recommended tonight are on the list contained in the 90-page strategic financial planning report that was delivered in April 2013 and updated in the fall of 2014. This is a bottoms-up, town-wide, school-wide inventory of every capital asset in town, what we have, how old it is, when it needs to be replaced. The Strategic Financial Planning Committee for Capital Funding was established in the fall of 2013. To act on that initial report of capital needs, the mission was to develop recommendations on how to finance our future capital requirements. We delivered our first set of recommendations a year ago for fiscal year 15. We started working again in the fall of 2014 to provide recommendations for fiscal year 16. among our objectives, and one of, really at the beginning of this, we said to ourselves that we needed to deal with this capital need in a way that would make fiscal and tax sense. The town is behind in capital spending. We have a lot of catching up to do. We've got to do it in a way that will be supported by taxpayers and it will be sustainable in our budget. So we approached it with two very important thoughts in mind. One, try to keep the total tax impact of capital spending, not including new projects, below the level of fiscal year 14. And secondly, try to avoid year-to-year swings in tax impact. Try and make this a predictable, recurring, steady reinvestment in our capital plan. Unfortunately, we're at the point where significant declines in debt service from the school building projects allow us to address replenishment capital needs without raising taxes. So here are the funding recommendations for fiscal year 16. And by funding, I mean this is how we recommended the town pay for what we decided to buy. So, one, annually update our projection of capital needs. Two, annually update our funding recommendations. Three, fund the $392,750 mentioned earlier for small capital items in the operating budget. Fourthly, use a combination of free cash, up to $800,000, and capital exclusions to pay for fiscal year 16 new capital spending and limit the use of debt primarily to large projects. So here are the capital spending recommendations as put forth by the Capital Improvement Advisory Committee. I've got the list of each item's listed, the article numbers listed. You can see here the recommendations for free cash versus the recommendations for a capital exclusion. And again, there's no request for debt funding since we've suggested reserving that for large projects only. Thank you.
Ms. Bilodeau.
That would be helpful. Thank you. Great. The town manager's operating capital budget includes capital expenditures for the upcoming fiscal year that fall below the Capital Improvement Advisory Committee's threshold. So this budget includes items that cost less than $50,000 in 1 year or less than $100,000 in multiple years. These capital items are recommended from staff, from the town, the Sudbury Public Schools, as well as Lincoln-Sudbury Regional High School. This year's capital operating budget includes 11 projects, totaling $392,750. In the past, our capital operating budget has been very small, and there has been continuously a backlog of projects. Based on recommendations from the Strategic Financial Planning Committee for capital funding, we are working to get this budget up to $400,000 annually. We anticipate that this will be the approximate amount requested each year going forward. In the DPW, two vehicles are needed. The first vehicle is a 2005 pickup truck that is 10 years old. Its exhaust manifold needs to be replaced. And the second vehicle is a 2007 one-ton dump truck that's 9 years old. Generally, the life expectancy of these trucks is 7 to 10 years. We have several projects from the Combined Facilities Department for the town and the school. $40,000 for the Curtis door replacement and repairs. The doors are 15 years old and have been repaired many times. Typically, the replacement is 12 to 20 years for these doors. These original doors are from when the school was built in the year 2000. In the Haynes School or the Curtis School septic pump and controls, they both need to be replaced. Originally, this request was for $80,000, but due to financial constraints, the request has been reduced to $40,000, and we will replace whichever one needs to be replaced first. $25,000 to replace the existing hot water heater at Nixon School with an energy-efficient water heater. $25,000 for the noise phone system, and this is to upgrade the existing system. $50,000 for the various building improvements. The town buildings are very old, and this budget is used for unexpected expenditures and improvements based upon the greatest needs. In the fire department, we need to upgrade our radio boxes. This is to replace 15 conventional hardwired master boxes with new radio boxes in 15 of the town buildings. We currently have an outdated system that still uses copper wiring. Our finance department needs two software packages. One enables employees to easily access the HR data, and it also comes with a software to help us track our job postings and applications. And the other software is for creating reports. Our current report writer is very difficult to use. Our recreation department needs to resurface the Feely tennis courts at a cost of $40,000. The current courts are in terrible shape. They should be resurfaced every 8 to 10 years, and the last time these were done were 15 to 18 years ago. And lastly, the grand total of all these capital expenditures is $392,750, and the Capital Improvement Advisory Committee supported this article. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Bilodeau. Mr. Garcia-Maton to report the Finance Committee's position on this article.
The Finance Committee unanimously recommends approval of Article 18.
Mr. Woodard for the Board of Selectmen's position.
Yeah, the Board of Selectmen supports this article.
Okay, discussion. Anyone wish to be heard on the motion under Article 18? Yes, sir. Ma'am, right here. Can you get her a microphone, please?
Thank you, Mr. Moderator. Helen Marie Casey, 85 Poconoket. Will the door replacement at the schools include any increased security measures?
I can't answer that question, but I believe our combined facilities director, Mr. Kelly, could
sure.
do so.
Sure, Jim.
Hi, I'm Jim Kelly. It will, but actually not particularly related to this capital request, but in the upcoming article, not sure of the number, there's a request for some funds to assist us to implement more security measures at the school buildings. They will tie together at the end of the day.
Okay. Anyone else wish to be heard on Article 18? I see no one. The vote required for passage of this motion under Article 18 is majority. All in favor, please raise your cards. All opposed. Passes unanimously. Article 19.
Thank you.
Article 19 on cardiac monitor replacements. Fire Chief Bill Miles for a motion.
Move to appropriate the sum of $96,000 for the purchase or acquisition of replacement cardiac monitors, related equipment, and service agreements for the fire department, and to meet this appropriation by transfer of $16,044.76 from the following accounts. $19.94 annual town meeting, Article 39, $276.89. $19.93 annual town meeting, Article 14, $8,967.30. $19.89 annual town meeting, Article 9, $1,263.44. $19.97 annual town meeting, Article 19, $2,643.63. 1994 annual town meeting, Article 64, $278.88. 2004 annual town meeting, Article 14, and 2007 special town meeting, Article 2, $1,000. 2012 annual town meeting, Article 18, $827.13. And 2012 annual town meeting, Article 15, $787.49.
and the balance of $79,955.24 by transfer from free cash.
Does that receive a second?
It does.
Chief. For a presentation.
Thank you, Mr. Moderator. As you can read in the warrant, we started our advanced life support program in November of 2013. To get the program off the ground, we had purchased some used cardiac monitors. They were manufactured in 2006. They are functioning fairly well, but we'd like to update them with newer technology to make it easier for our medics to make diagnoses in the field.
Are you finished?
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you. Mr. Garcia Matin to report the Finance Committee's position on this article.
The Finance Committee unanimously recommends approval of Article Number 19.
Selectman Pat Brown for the Board of Selectmen.
The Board of Selectmen supports this article.
Okay. Anybody wish to be heard on the motion under Article 19? Please raise your card. Oh, right here.
Tom Travers, Chairman of the Capital Investment Advisory Committee, who approves this article.
Excellent. Anyone else wish to be heard? Okay. The vote required for passage of this motion under Article 19 is by majority. All in favor, please raise your cards. All opposed? I see no one opposed. The motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you very much.
Article 20, carpet replacement, schools and library. Motion by Facilities Director Jim Kelly.
Move to appropriate the sum of $108,000 for the purpose of replacing selected portions of existing carpet in the Curtis School, the Loring School, and the Goodnow Library, and to meet this appropriation by transfer of $60,461.99 from the following accounts. 1994 Annual Town Meeting, Article 40, $2,231. 1998 Annual Town Meeting, Article 8, $2,660.45. 1994 Annual Town Meeting, Article 38, $482.48. 2000 Annual Town Meeting, Article 13, $30,221.60. 2001 Annual Town Meeting, Article 7A, $20,754.30. 2001 Annual Town Meeting, Article 7C, $1,520.03. 2005 Annual Town Meeting, Article 11, $2,592.13. And the balance of $47,538.01 by transfer from free cash.
Does that motion receive a second?
It does.
Mr. Kelly for a presentation.
Thank you, Mr. Moderator. My name is Jim Kelly, Facilities Director, and I am going to present Article 20. So this wording is right out of your warrant. This article is to request funds to replace some worn-out carpet in a couple of our town buildings. The carpet at the library was put in 1998 and is wearing out. The Loring School as well, and some carpet at the Curtis School, particularly the library in the administration area. These requests were made several years ago, but as every year is competition for capital dollars, this sort of had to wait its turn. The time is actually critical to move forward with this project. Just so you know, we're not replacing all of the carpet in all of these buildings. It's only selected portions. So I'm going to show some pictures to try to get the information to you. This is a picture of the Curtis Library. Like I said, it's wearing out. I try to relate some way to kind of think about what it would be like in your home if 500 kids were running through your living room every day for the last 15 years. This carpet actually held up really well, but now it's time to replace. This is a Goodnow Library put in 1998. Another related kind of way to kind of express the wear and tear is the library has about 176,000 visitors a year. And so that's calculated to about 2.8 million footsteps on this carpet. It's simply wearing out. Goodnow Library carpet, we actually was able to do some carpet replacement. Last year, the foundation at the library was able to generate some funds to do a new cafe area. So it was really a right opportunity to get a little bit done. But on the slide on the right, you can see we just stopped it. And we'd like to continue and finish the first floor. This is just a picture showing the wear and tear. Right now, we have to use scissors because once the little burrs come up, you just have to cut them. Or when you vacuum, the whole thing would just be taken right up. One thing of note for libraries, part of the cost of replacing carpet is moving the books. There's a lot of books. They're really, really heavy. So it takes a lot of time and effort and expense. This picture on the right is the children's room we did a couple years ago in the library. Again, a couple pictures of what we've been able to do and the improvements down at the library. Again, I mentioned how the library was able to make the improvements in the children's room, so we were able to get that carpet done. So this is another shot of a wearing carpet. You can see the wrinkles in the floor. It's kind of delaminating from the concrete. I'm not trying to overstate the case, but also not take it lightly that this is a significant investment. But it's a way to protect our schools and our library, our buildings, and we need to make this investment. And then here's another shot of a before and after. I particularly like before and afters. You'll see more of them later tonight, perhaps. We're proposing with a carpet replacement to use rubber-back tiles. They're 2x2 tiles. The beauty of that we've found is that if you have an accident or a spill, you can just remove one or two tiles and replace them with attic stock that will keep on site. And that is Article 20. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kelly. Mr. Garcia-Maton for a report from the Finance Committee.
The Finance Committee recommends approval of Article 20 by a vote of 6-1.
Ms. Brown for the Board of Selectmen's position.
The Board of Selectmen support this article.
Anyone wish to be heard on the motion under Article 20? Mr. Travers.
The CIAC approves this article. One clarification, it was the Friends of the Goodnow Library that replaced the carpet in that front section, not the foundation.
Thank you. Anyone else wish to be heard under Article 20? I see no one. The vote required for passage of this motion under Article 20 is a majority. All in favor, please raise your card. All opposed? The motion passes by well more than a majority and nearly unanimously. Article 21, the natatorium roofing. Mr. Kelly.
Move to indefinitely postpone Article 21.
Does that receive a second? It does. Care to say anything about that?
Actually, the natatorium is the pool over the roof. I mean, the roof over the pool. it is a natatorium, but the roof is old. But as you may know, you probably do, we're looking at the facility, the Fairbank Center. There's been a feasibility study done that was funded by town meeting a couple years ago. We had a great public meeting about a month ago. The Permanent Building Committee and the Fairbank Community Center Task Force is looking into what we should do with the building, the facility, and at one time we considered the natatorium may remain. It may be the only portion left, but at this time it would be unwise to make any decisions for that facility until we have more time to look into the future and what we can and should do with the facility going forward.
Thank you. Does the Finance Committee have a position on this article?
The Finance Committee recommends indefinite postponement of this article.
Board of Selectmen have a position on this article?
The Board also recommends indefinite postponement.
Okay. Anyone wish to be heard on Article 21? Yes, sir.
I don't have an awful lot to say. Excuse me. John Beeler, Wagon Wheel Road. But if you were to walk through that building, you don't want to leave your umbrella in the car. I walk through there and see buckets and barrels and whatever, and I don't understand it. Thank you.
Excuse me, sir. Can you just state your name again, please?
John Beeler, Wagon Wheel Road.
Thank you, sir. Okay. Anyone else wish to be heard under Article 21? I see no one. The vote required to indefinitely postpone is a majority. All in favor, please raise your card. All opposed? Passes unanimously. Article 22, fire alarm upgrade at Lincoln Sudbury. Patrick Collins for motion. Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry, please.
Thank you, Mr. Moderator. My name is Radha Gargia, and I live at 120 Powder Mill Road, Lincoln Sudbury Regional School Committee Chair. And then I move to transfer from free cash the sum of $106,600 to be expended under the direction of the Lincoln Sudbury Regional High School District Committee for the purpose of repairing and improving the existing fire alarm system in the high school, installing, constructing, reconstructing, or making extraordinary repairs to the facility for the purposes of installation and all expenses therewith, including professional and engineering, the preparation of plans, specifications, and bidding documents, and supervision of work.
Does that receive a second? It does. Presentation by Mr. Gargea.
And Mr. Moderator, may I request Mr. Patrick Collins, the Director of Operations and Finance for Lincoln Sudbury, to make the presentation.
Very well.
Thank you.
Mr. Collins.
Thank you, town meeting members. This is a pretty straightforward request to modernize and upgrade the existing fire alarm control notification system within our school building. It is our only capital request this year to both member communities. And the dollar size, which you'll see, is $125,000 budget because of the amount led us to submit it through the capital process of both communities. Lincoln has approved this at their annual town meeting. And like you heard previously from the fire chief about upgrades to the radio box, we've been coordinating closely this upgrade as well so that our facility will have a radio transmitter as well. I need to advance this. Okay, so the scope of the work is to replace and upgrade the notification panels. There's a main panel when you walk in the main foyer of the building. That's the main panel. Then there are 10 sub-panels, one in each floor of our three buildings within the facility. All of the existing detectors, heat detectors, the pull boxes all remain in place. So this is really a technology project, improving the guts and internal workings of the system along with wiring. The rationale, as you can see there, that the technology has moved on, it's improved, and the manufacturer no longer supports the existing system and replacement parts. And then you can see the apportionment there, the $106,600, which is Sudbury's apportionment for this request. And then finally, of course, like any other public project, it would be bid per state law. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Garcia-Maton for the Finance Committee's position.
The Finance Committee unanimously recommends approval of Article 22.
Pat Brown for the Board of Selectmen's position on this article.
Board of Selectmen support this article.
Okay. Anybody wish to be heard under Article 22? Mr. Travers.
CIAC approves this project.
Anyone else wish to be heard on Article 22? Seeing no one. Vote required for passage of this motion is a majority. All in favor, please raise your cards. All opposed. The motion passes by well more than a majority and nearly unanimously. Article 23, town and school parking lots and sidewalk improvements. Mr. Kelly for a motion.
Move to appropriate the sum of $200,000 to be expended under the direction of the facilities director for the purpose of constructing, reconstructing, or making extraordinary repairs to the Sudbury Public Schools and town driveways, parking lots, and sidewalks. Said sum to be raised by taxation and contingent upon the approval of a Proposition 2.5 capital expenditure exclusion in accordance with General Law Chapter 59, Section 21C, I and 1/2.
Does that receive a second? It does. Mr. Kelly for presentation.
Thank you very much. It's Jim Kelly speaking again. This article requests $200,000 to continue a project that we started a year ago when town meeting approved $330,000 for primarily reconstructing the Nixon School parking lot, but also tending to some other parking lots in town as well. As you'll see, Curtis was the next parking lot that needed some attention. This couple slides here are showing you the work that was done last summer at the Nixon School, which I've heard came out really well, thanks to Bill Place, the Director of Public Works, and his team. I took the picture on the left because I wanted to sort of make a point that this is heavy equipment work. This is not, well, even if you do your driveway, I rode by somebody doing their driveway in my neighborhood, and there must have been six trucks there today. And it was just a little driveway. So it's big work, and it's important work. So I think we were very successful last year, and I hope we can continue that. Again, showing off Nixon a little bit, just sort of showing you what results we hope to achieve, mostly at finishing up at Curtis this year. One more shot at Nixon School. You can see the blacktop is in, the curbing is laying in the center of the island, and it was soon to be put in. This slide is at Curtis right now, and this is what we want to tend to. We have a little bit of a tone in the Capitol articles tonight that we've built a lot of buildings in the 90s, in the early 2000s, and those buildings are starting to wear out a little bit. So we want to make sure we don't let them wear out a lot. We want to make sure that we tend to the significant maintenance and repairs and we maintain our facilities. So again, this is an article that will support that project. This work on this slide hopefully will be this summer at Curtis. Just to remind the hall and anybody watching, this is a capital exclusion. It's a one-year hit on our tax bill. So this will be on a ballot question on the, I believe, May 19th special election. This shot is a view near the loading docks. The rear side of Curtis you may not see generally. You don't drive back there too often, I suspect. But that section of the blacktop was where we installed new drainage, because water is really the culprit to deterioration of everything in and around a building and site. So part of managing that water is installing some new drains, and we'll continue to do that if there are sections of the parking lot that warrant that. This is, I mentioned we did do some primarily at Nixon, you saw the pictures, but we did get over to Curtis. And these are sort of the two spots where we left off and where we want to continue on this summer. That shot on the left is near the bus lot, and the one on the right is the backside of Curtis. We want to try to now finish that loop this summer. And then, as I said before, I do love the before and afters. And this is exactly that. The new drainage system was installed on the left, and then the new pavement is shown all finished on the right. This article also mentions other buildings, other sites in town. These aren't the only two buildings in town. The Loring School, again, built in 1998, is starting to show some wear and tear, as well as the Senior Center. The library as well, opened up in 1998, same as Loring School, I believe. And we can't do it all, but we will get a good head start with the additional funds if approved. So this is the last slide. I just actually kind of liked the slide. I liked the picture. And the project was very successful. We want to continue on next summer. Thank you.
Thanks, Jim. Fred Floru for the Finance Committee.
Finance Committee recommends the approval of Article 23rd by a margin of 6-1.
Mr. Hardy for the Board of Selectmen's position.
The Board of Selectmen support this article.
Okay, discussion. Anyone wish to be heard on Article 23? Okay. Mr. Travers.
CIAC approve this article also.
Thank you, sir. Anyone else wish to be heard on Article 23? Right here. Can we get a mic to this lady? Thank you.
Jennifer Pincus, 25 Blueberry Hill Lane. As Mr. Kelly mentioned, we did vote on the same project last year. And at the time, I was under the impression that all of Curtis was going to get done last year. And we live right behind Curtis. We watched it all summer as they worked on it and were surprised when they didn't finish it. I'm just wondering if the $200,000 that you're looking for now, if you have an estimate as to how much of these projects you would like to complete will be covered by the $200,000, or are we going to get halfway done again this year and it's going to come up again next year?
Yeah, sure. We had the $330,000 last year. Nixon School was the biggest section or biggest need last year. We have about $25,000 remaining. We will finish the Curtis School completely. We got about halfway done last summer. We'll finish that entire school parking lot next year. And if funds are available, we'd like to see about getting down to Loring School and tidying up some of the Senior Center parking lot. So it will be completed next summer.
Thanks. Anybody else wish to be heard? I see no one. The vote required for passage of this motion under Article 23 is a majority. All in favor, please raise your cards. Capital. According to the Town Council, because this is a appropriation by taxation, the requirement is a majority. Anybody have any questions about that? Okay. So vote is by a majority. All in favor, please show your cards. All opposed? The motion passes by well more than a majority and nearly unanimously. Okay. Before we get to Article 24, we are approaching the witching hour, and we cannot start an article after 10:30, so my feeling is that we will get through Article 24 and then adjourn. I want to talk a little bit about tomorrow night, May 5. The voters will be checked in. As you may recall, we're going to have two meetings tomorrow night. We'll start with a special meeting, and then we'll continue with this annual town meeting. So tomorrow night, voters will be checked in on two different voter lists, one list for the special and the second list for the annual town meeting. The voters will be given two different colored cards, one for each meeting. Please allow a little additional time for the check-in process. As I mentioned, the second session of this annual town meeting will be called to order immediately upon the dissolution of the special town meeting. I believe we have six articles in the special town meeting. We should get through it relatively quickly. Okay, on to Article 24, School Security and Access Controls, motion by Facilities Director Jim Kelly. Chief? Motion by Chief Nix.
Move to appropriate the sum of $220,000 to be expended under the direction of my look-alike, the facilities director, for the purpose of constructing, reconstructing, or making extraordinary repairs to the Sudbury Public Schools for the purpose of building safety, security, and access controls. Said sum to be raised by taxation and contingent upon the approval of Proposition 2.5, capital expenditure exclusion in accordance with General Law, Chapter 59, Section 21C, I, and 1/2.
Excellent. Does that motion receive a second? It does. Presentation by Chief Nix.
Yes.
Thank you.
Good evening, everybody. My name is Scott Nix, Chief of Police here. There was a question brought up about security and improving doors earlier. So, unfortunately, the times are such that we need to continually reassess what our security procedures are. We've been through the homicide at Lincoln Sudbury. We now have a family that lives in town that lost their daughter at Sandy Hook. And we continually hear about all the other instances that happen across the country. So there are a lot of things that go on behind the scenes, some of which are not put in the public venue because I don't want perpetrators to know exactly what we're doing so they can then circumvent what our plans are. But one of the things that we're trying to do is improve video monitoring of the K-8 system as well as access control. I'll concentrate on the video monitoring to begin with. As part of a bigger plan, this is one of multiple steps of approving things. If we had an open checkbook, then I would be coming before you and the school committees and everything else with all sorts of different improvements for the safety of our youth. Our youth is our future. They really mean a lot to me. We're trying to make a lot of improvements in the schools, first-time school resource officer in the schools, all sorts of other things going on. But with these improvements, with our impending new station, which we were so graciously that everybody voted for last year, the technology improvements that we will have will, if we get exterior cameras and there were to be an incident that happened, my dispatchers could actually pull up and see what was transpiring as it was going on. We have unfortunately had some vandals that like to climb up on roofs or put a little graffiti on schools at times. You'd be able to go back and review the footage of that and potentially, you know, thwart that as a proactive measure as well as an investigative measure. So I want to be clear, this is exterior cameras only, because I know when we start talking about interior cameras, people get all up in arms. I do believe in those, but that's not anything that we're looking to go forward now. Access control, I think it's a great thing. Our K-8 system is now locked, so we have security measures of getting in there. But what if somebody's not able to buzz us in? How we get into the school right now is we have a key ring of about 30, 40 keys for multiple schools, and so we get up to the door and we get, okay, we got Curtis School, door number, all right, we're in. That's too long. If we need to get in an emergency circumstance, we want to get in quickly. So the access control will provide three access control points per K-8 school, so the four elementaries as well as Curtis. So we can fob in real quick, or my dispatchers will be able to let us in as we radio, hey, we're going in door two. They can just let us in immediately. So, again, this is a multiple-step process to improve security, but it really allows us to get in faster, get in a better way to serve our students and our staff. It also allows for, if you're having meetings there, if somebody loses a key, your security is now potentially jeopardized. But if you lose a fob or you lose an electronic card, all you need to do is deactivate that card. So we would rekey everything, hand out security cards, and really increase the safety immensely. You know, again, the locked doors are incredible, but we need to think, and I promise you that these things keep me up at night thinking about the safety of our kids and trying to improve everything as far as it goes. Just wanted to make it short and sweet, just like Jim Kelly.
And that's much appreciated, Chief. Mr. Floro, for the Finance Committee's report.
Finance Committee unanimously recommends the approval of Article 24.
Chuck Woodard for the Board of Selectmen's position.
The Board of Selectmen supports this article.
Okay. Anyone wish to be heard under Article 24? Mr. Travers.
The CIAC approves this article also.
Thank you. Mr. Stein. Can we get a microphone down to Mr. Stein?
Hi, Bob Stein, 7 Thompson Drive. You talk about K through
8. Mr. Stein.
You talk about K through 8. What about the high school? Will the cameras at the high school be able to be tapped into the police station, or when will they be?
We haven't vetted that at this point. The LS does have school cameras and so forth, but we haven't really delved into that. This is something I've been working with the Surrey Public School Committee on. I've gone into an executive session with them and discuss multiple things go on. Some that, again, like the article like this, comes out in the public. There are other articles that are still behind it, or not articles, but other initiatives behind the scene that I would not choose to discuss in public.
Very good. Anyone wish to be heard? Yes, ma'am.
Kathy Jacob, Old Lancaster Road. What happens when the power goes out? How do those fobs work?
There's battery backups to it, as well as we will have a key backup as well. But those key backups will be extremely limited, so that, again, we don't run into the problem of issuing a key, having it lost, and go from there.
Okay. Can we get a mic down to this gentleman, please? Stand up, sir, so he knows. Thanks.
Kurt Larson, 95 Water Row.
I'm sorry, could you repeat your name again, please? I didn't hear you.
Kurt Larson, 95 Water Row. The facilities director report in the article in the warrant says that this added security feature, along with training and communication, will give the staff a valuable tool.
Mm-hmm.
How and when are we going to pay for the training and communication, and how will that be funded?
That is all just done within house, it's not an extensive amount of communication, but or training, shall I say. And a lot of this training is on our part when we move into the new facility, our new police station, as far as learning the access control. We actually have this access control systems in place already at the Flynn Building and Goodnow Library. It will be at our police station as well. So that's all part of the learning process, but it won't be on extra money coming out. It will just be on the regular job clock, if you will. Okay?
Okay. Anybody else? I see no one. The vote required for passage of the motion under Article 24 requires a majority vote. All in favor, please raise your cards. All opposed? The motion passes unanimously. As I said, we will adjourn till tomorrow night, immediately following immediately following the conclusion of the special meeting. Can I have a motion to adjourn to that time? Does that receive a second? All in favor? Thank you. See you tomorrow night.